Welcome back to another week of the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar coming at you from TSN 990 Studios in beautiful Westmount, Quebec. I keep saying Westmount. It just
in cold Westmount, Quebec.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Wow.
The world is right again.
It actually makes me feel a little bit better that it's that cold outside.
It was funny how everybody just, you know, the words global warming did not come up last week.
No, they didn't. Nobody said a damn thing. No. They said, you know what, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Exactly.
This is what we're going to get. We know it's going to last 5 days, and that's it.
How are you, Jay?
I'm fine, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to see you, man.
You too, buddy.
I missed you.
You know, we've got to hang out more than just once a week.
I think we will next week.
I think we absolutely will next week. Monday night's going to be a lot of fun.
It will.
I have a feeling we're going to miss the final four, or the final two.
Are we?
The national championship is Monday night.
Is it? Well,
and, we've got
people on the station won't miss it.
Nope, they'll catch it right here, and they can fill us in. I guess we'll be doing the post-game show for it, so that should be very creative.
Okay, so I'll be when we go out, I'll be looking at my updates a little bit to pretend to know something.
We will allow, well, we won't, Ivanko will. We'll allow two of our listeners to join us next Monday night. At the Our Lady Peace Conference. What Peace Conference? That's great, eh? Concert. Concert.
That's not a bad gig, though. They should be calling their concerts that. Concert tour? The Our Lady Peace Conference.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, people would think it wasn't happening. Our Lady Peace, of course, has a new album out next week. They have a sold-out show at the Corona Theater on Monday night. And this is the only place you can get a ticket. So we'll be giving that away in the second hour of the show. When we speak with Jeremy Taggart, the drummer from Our Lady Peace, who, by the way, has the most incredible baseball memorabilia collection.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, go check his Twitter feed, Taggart7 on Twitter. He put up a picture of a Cy Young signed baseball a couple of weeks back.
Cy Young himself signed.
Denton True Young
signed that at, what, I guess around the turn of the century?
No, or? I think it was from an old-timers game in the 30s.
That's how long ago Cy Young played. He was an old-timer in the 30s.
So long ago that they named the award for best pitcher after him.
God, people who were born in the 30s are dead now.
Who won the first Cy Young award?
That's a good question. I don't know that. Don't put me on the spot.
Off the top of my head, I want to say it was late. I think it was Don Newcomb.
Don Newcomb, really? Was it that late?
I think so. John Kakalakis, would you mind checking into that for us, sir?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing great. Good. I was cold and warm now.
Good.
Ready
good.
To go.
Well, you're nothing like the Kaufman Show to warm you up.
Exactly.
We've got Chris Stevenson on the show as well tonight. CJ, as his friends call him. I'm still calling him Chris.
I'm calling him CJ.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Francois Gagnon called him, am I right, Jimmy? Don Newcomb. There you go.
Don, wow. Dave, you're good.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I asked and answered.
Right? Okay.
I guess it got lodged in the brain.
That usually
somewhere.
Makes you look pretty good, doesn't it? When you ask the question and then you answer it yourselves because you know the answer.
I thought I knew the answer.
Okay.
I was fully ready, though, standing here naked, ready to be wrong.
Test me again sometime.
Trust me, it'll come up. It'll come up. So, yeah, we've got CJ on the show who is on vacation.
I'm not sure if he's on vacation or he's just working, but I'm pretty sure he's in Florida.
Well, lucky guy.
Yeah.
Sure
Poor
beats.
Thing.
Although, you know, he is an Ottawan, and this would be a night to be watching the Senators. So
wow.
Hopefully he can...
Do we have a score update on that game?
John?
Yes, 5-4 Ottawa, last minute of play.
Okay, and
incredible.
Goals scored 20 seconds apart.
Exactly.
Exciting stuff.
I managed to catch a lot of the second period of that game, and boy, these boys are battling out. Winnipeg wants it. Ottawa's been playing really well since their tragic loss to the Canadiens the other night.
Yeah, that was a bit of an interesting game. We'll definitely ask Chris about that. The polemicist has chimed in on
Uh-oh.
Twitter. Did you have to sign an Our Lady Peace treaty to get the tickets? Monday night pun quota for the week already met.
Excellent.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Excellent. So that'll be the working theme all show.
Well, hopefully we can move past it.
I was hoping we could move past it.
Rise
past
above it.
After it. The, yeah.
Everything feels kind of back to normal, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Last week was... It was weird having all those cameras in here.
Yeah, I felt like, I don't know. It
I felt like someone was watching me.
Yeah. And I felt like I have a little bit of radio jet lag. I don't know what it is.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I have jet lag in general after the last 2 weeks I just had, but no, I feel this is the first time I've felt in 2 weeks that it's back to normal. Yeah. And it's me and you, Dave, sitting staring at each other's pretty faces.
It's also because Jimmy's back.
Jimmy's back, too, yeah.
Jimmy, we missed you so.
I thank you for those kind words.
Jay, you had a nice vacation?
I had a very nice vacation.
Where'd you go?
We went to Boston.
Oh, lovely.
From what he's wearing, he's still on vacation.
Yes, exactly. It was great there, and apparently it's not so good here.
No.
It would have been would you have dressed up last week?
I would have dressed, not in a suit and tie, but something a little more appropriate for cameras.
Oh, I didn't wear a suit and tie. I didn't look too different than what I'm wearing right now, I don't think.
No, that's as good as it gets, Kaufman.
I left the baseball cap at home last week.
Yeah, I was rocking my Irish fighting cap with my Anakin Slade t-shirt, and that's good enough for me.
It was, yes, it's always good to represent.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know what, when Patrick Burke last week was talking about his brother, I couldn't help but think of you with the t-shirt of your brother on it.
Right, and I thought what he said was actually very touching, and I was thinking the same thing, actually, while it was happening.
Yeah, we do anything for our siblings, right?
Yes, we do.
And, that was really cool. I encourage you all to go check that out on the podcast, thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. Patrick Burke was a fantastic guest. And a little later on in the show, we're going to play for you the newest You Can Play video. It's about 6.5 minutes long, and it's Scott Haggart, who is the... I believe he's a high school student in Ottawa, or a college student now, but openly gay on his hockey team growing up, and very moving video. So we gotta get more people watching it. I think I'd only seen 500 YouTube video views on it.
Yeah.
So
you got to support the You Can Play team. It's very, very important. And it's more important than people think it is.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
It still hasn't taken hold the way that it eventually will. You catch that article in the back of Sports Illustrated?
I did not.
Fantastic.
Okay, I will.
Fantastic article. I have lapsed. I do not have an SI subscription right now, and I miss it so much.
Can you get one?
Do you get
the American Sports Illustrated, or do you get the Canadian one?
I don't think there has been a Canadian Sports Illustrated since Larry Walker was on the cover in an Expos uniform.
But isn't it, do they still make a Sports Illustrated that's kind of...
No, I think that was an antiquated Sheila Copps rule from the early 90s to allow for more Canadian advertising to be in American magazines.
Okay.
But
hence all the questions I get every year at the pub about the Super Bowl.
What do you mean?
Are you showing the American commercials? Who cares? Watch them on YouTube the next day.
I've never understood that either.
Oh, God. Who cares? Really? You're dying to see that Doritos commercial, aren't you?
You can watch them before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Most of them come out before the actual game.
Oh, the internet.
Yep.
How you have changed the way we do things.
Watch the damn football game and enjoy it.
This is the Kaufman Show. Enjoy it, right?
Right.
Watch the damn game and enjoy it.
Listen to the damn show and enjoy it.
Or else. So, yeah, Chris Stevenson right after the break. Jeremy Taggart around midnight. Oh, yeah, we got Dan Gradinsky, 11:45. Kaufman Show legal analyst from
yes.
Borden Ladner Gervais.
What's he got up his sleeve this week?
Oh, we're going to talk some bounties with him.
And call in, people. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff to give away. We'll tell you about it afterwards. Or maybe right now. $50 at Brutopia. Sarah Jane Scouten's new CD. She'll be in studio next week. You know we love that country pie. This is The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, and we'll be back. I don't need much, that ain't no lie. Ain't running any race. Get to me my country pie. I won't throw it up in anybody's face. Take me up that old beach street. The little Jack Horner got nothing on me. Oh, me, oh, my. Love that country pie. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show. Dave Kauffman, Jay Farrar, and we're going to bring in our next guest right away for you. Rumor is he's on vacation right now.
I'm not sure.
No?
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, then it's just a rumor. We'll see if he can verify it or not. Let's bring in Chris Stevenson. He writes for Sun Media Newspapers, and we're big fans of his. Catch him in downtown Montreal every once in a while. Always a pleasure to saddle up next to him at the bar. And now we got him on air. Welcome, Chris.
How are you guys?
We're great. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Are you really on vacation right now?
I am. I'm talking to you from beautiful Myrtle Beach. Just got in from watching a night of, played some golf this afternoon and watched the night of National Hockey League hockey. So
well, I was wondering,
a good day all around.
I was wondering if when on vacation, if you still feel the desire to watch.
Absolutely. I'm a hockey fan probably first and lucky to be a person that, that my vocation involves hockey, but yeah, nothing better than we've got 12 guys down here. Most of them are Ottawa Senators fans. Forgive me, Montreal. But yeah, it was a great game between Montreal and Winnipeg tonight, just full of electricity. But unfortunately for Winnipeg, and I think a lot of people around the National Hockey League were rooting for the Jets to make it into the playoffs just because they want to see what the MTS Center would be like in a postseason environment. But I think that loss tonight in regulation time is going to do them in.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, Chris. It looks like a bit of a mountain to climb. And, I mean, Buffalo's still sort of kicking around. Well, Buffalo and Washington are tied right now, actually, aren't they?
Yeah. And that's a huge game tomorrow night. Buffalo and Washington play each other tomorrow night.
Unreal. How do you sort of handicap this coming out?
In terms of who I think is going to make it?
Yeah.
I think right now Buffalo's, you know, you almost always look at the goaltending when you're trying to break things down and look at what team might have the edge like right now. And Ryan Miller's just been on a great run. I think Washington's goaltending, you know, at best has been suspicious for most of the year. Vokoun came in, and you'd think he'd be tremendously motivated given his circumstances that he's just got a one-year deal and is going to go back onto the free agent market. But, you know, his play's been pretty inconsistent. And, you know, Ryan Miller has been maybe not quite up to his Vezina Trophy winning form, but he's been good. So I think in any of these circumstances, when you are going to try and break it down and look like who's got the advantage right now, I think I got to give it to the Sabres just because of the goaltending Ryan Miller's been giving them over the last, pretty much over the last month.
Do you think that scares the Rangers, Chris?
It has to. You know, I think as much as the Rangers have a similar weapon themselves in Henrik Lundqvist, who's another guy who over the course of this season is going to get serious Vezina consideration. I think anytime you go into a series where you've got a goaltender who's playing at the level that Ryan Miller has lately, it's got to scare you because, you know, I guess all you got to do is think back a couple of years ago to what Yaroslav Halak did for the Montreal Canadiens, and a hot goaltender on the other team can overcome a lot of weaknesses and a lot of shortfalls for your team.
You know, it's exactly where my mind went, and it was such a wonderful thrill in this city to ride the hot goaltender, but it also kind of masked the true talents of the team and allowed the fan base to think that the team was better than it was.
That's absolutely right, and I think that's why it's incumbent upon management to not get too carried away with their performance, you know, and recognize what happened. I don't know if the Montreal Canadiens did that coming out of that series, and that's not to say that they didn't make the right decision in keeping Carey Price over Yaroslav Halak. I think they did make the right decision there, but I think they, they came up short in terms of recognizing what they needed up front. And, you know, through, I think both, I wasn't a big fan of the Eric Cole signing, to tell you the truth, at the start. I thought it was too much money and for too long a term for a guy of his level and his age. He's just had a wonderful year for them, and that looks like a great signing. The emergence of Pacioretty, you know, I think both of those things kind of address the issues which I saw most pressing for Montreal after that playoff run, and that was getting bigger up front. And I think the pressing issue now, I can't even start to talk about whether Pierre Gauthier is going to be back as general manager or not, but the pressing issue for whoever is going to be the general manager is going to be, I think, figuring out what you're going to do at the center ice position. If you've decided that David Desharnais is going to be your number one center now, I don't know where that leaves Thomas Plekanec, because I don't think you can have two centers the size of those guys and the money that they're making in the positions that they're in now.
Well, Plekanec is basically a giant compared to Desharnais.
Right, but if Desharnais has got this great chemistry with Cole and Pacioretty and becomes your de facto number one center, because that is your number one line, I don't know where you go from there.
You spend a lot of time covering the Habs, Chris. I'd imagine that after the Senators, it's probably the team that you see the most, right?
Yeah.
Where do you see this managerial tailspin headed?
You know what? I've been hearing so many conflicting theories and rumors from hockey people. And I think right now the best way to sum it up is I hear so many of these rumors, and there was in fact one out of Ottawa just last week about, you know, saying pretty much it's a done deal. Patrick was the general manager and Bob Hartley is the coach, and
right,
on the surface of it, that makes a lot of sense. But I guess just the vibe that I've been getting talking to people is, I don't know if there's a sense even within the Montreal Canadiens exactly at this point what they want to do. I don't think it is that cut and dried. And I think, you know, I'm hearing, you know, rumblings of even what their senior structure is going to wind up, you know, looking like, and what exactly, you know, how things are going to shake out in terms of Jeff Molson and the people that he has around advising him. And there's so many interesting slants to the whole Montreal situation. And, you know, I think about Bob Gainey's involvement. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any question Bob Gainey still has a huge amount of sway in terms of decisions that are made with the Montreal Canadiens. So, you know, will it be easy for Jeff Molson if he's indeed the guy that maintains the kind of like the managerial partner role? Is it going to be easy for him to cut ties with the likes of a Bob Gainey, who's had decades and decades of a relationship with the Molson family and with the Montreal Canadiens? Because I think, you know, if you're going to try and strike out on a new direction in terms of management, I don't think you can do that and have Bob Gainey around. I think you need to cut that cord. And if the decision is made that a fresh new direction is needed, and you're going to bring in some fresh blood, then I think they're going to need to be given the space and the oxygen to be able to do that and set out on their own course without, you know, without having a Bob Gainey look over their shoulder. If you decide if Jeff Molson and his partners decide that Bob Gainey is a voice that needs to be listened to and still has currency with them, then it would not surprise me at all to see Pierre Gauthier continue in that position. So we hear so many rumors and everything else being flown out there, and it's fun to listen to them. I love hearing rumors about Patrick Waugh and Bob Hartley, and you look at the names and you look at the relationships, and you on the surface it looks like it makes a lot of sense. But I don't know if the Montreal Canadiens have even decided exactly which direction they wanted to go in. So let the rumors fly and let's have some fun with it.
Well, I'll tell you, Patrick Waugh scares me, Chris. I find that to be a totally irrational choice.
Well, I guess, again, it's the blending of what's important in terms of a marketing standpoint. And I'm never one. You're never going to be in a perfect world where you're going to be able to simply do things that are the best case scenario, particularly in Montreal. And we saw that with the hiring of Randy Cunningworth as a unilingual Anglo coach. It's been made clear that the best coaching candidate is not going to have a chance in Montreal, that there are other factors that come into the situation, and he's going to have to be bilingual. I had this conversation with another general manager in the NHL, and he's like, I would not want to be in that position in Montreal where my hands are tied in terms of a coaching search because I have to get a guy who's able to communicate in French, you know? So there's always going to be restrictions. You're afraid of Patrick Waugh, but I also understand what Patrick Waugh would mean in terms of from a marketing standpoint and in terms of creating a buzz around your team at a time when the team needs it. It needs a resurgence. But I completely understand what you're saying in terms of it being a reactionary kind of hiring. And what really is Patrick Waugh's track record in terms of being a general manager in the National Hockey League? There's no familiarity with the players in the National Hockey League right now. You know, he's been a general manager. All of his time and attention are tied to being a general manager and an owner and coach in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. So I don't care how much time he spends kind of watching games on National Hockey League games on television, he's just not going to have that intimate type of knowledge that you need to be a general manager in the National Hockey League. That said, if you wanted to bring him in as your kind of figurehead and face and voice of a franchise, a guy who's got a wonderful resume and relationship with Montreal Canadiens fans and the Montreal Canadiens, I understand that from a business standpoint, that he's going to create a buzz around your team. And he's the antithesis, right, of Pierre Gauthier. I mean, Patrick was fiery. He's emotional. He's passionate. He's going to say crazy things in the spur of the moment, which is the exact opposite of Pierre Gauthier. So I can understand, you know, the logic behind of kind of embarking on this, you know, polar opposite approach from a business standpoint, because it would kind of invest your team with all this emotion that a lot of people feel like it's been lacking in the general manager's role.
We've got a couple of minutes left with Chris Stevenson on the Kauffman Show with Dave Kauffman and Jay Farrar.
CJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. I haven't had much time to speak. Kauffman talks too much.
So do I.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You're interesting, at least. Sorry, Dave. I was kidding.
Let's move it along here.
Sorry, yeah. CJ, I noticed something in Friday's game against the Senators. They had a bad 5-1 loss to the Canadiens. The Canadiens seem to be taking a more chippy approach and assuming that whatever management they have next year will continue to have this approach. Do you see more of a rivalry coming up between the Senators and the Canadiens? Because we haven't had that, probably because the Sens and the Canadiens have never played in the playoffs. But do you see something, it's not exactly a crosstown rivalry, but do you see maybe them being both fighting for a position, a playoff spot, and maybe getting at each other's throats a little bit more?
Yeah, and there's always been, I don't know if you guys have been to games in Ottawa, but it seems like always more than half of the building is filled up with Montreal Canadiens fans whenever the Senators and the Canadiens play in Ottawa. So, you know, I think there's that energy that exists right off of the bat. I mean, just I think from being geographical rivals and the fact that a lot of the Ottawa fan base has almost become kind of like a hybrid fan base. I think there's a lot of people who might have been Habs fans who go to the games because they can't get tickets in Montreal, and they continue to root for the team. And I think there might be some Senators fans who used to root for the Habs who now root for the Senators because it's in their backyard. So I think from the fan base standpoint, it's a rivalry that's just, you know, kind of crying out to be taken to the next level. But I think as we saw with Ottawa and Toronto, that the reason that the rivalry with the Leafs is so great is because they did have those matchups in the playoffs. And I'd say it right now that, you know, Ottawa's probably got bigger rivalries with the likes of Buffalo and Pittsburgh than they do with Montreal, for the simple reason that they played those teams in the playoffs. And I think that's what it would take for this rivalry to kind of go to the next level, is for them to meet in the postseason. And, you know, yeah, I think that's got to happen for the Montreal and Ottawa. And I think if that happens, I don't think there's any question that Montreal will quickly ascend to the level of the Leafs in terms of a rival for the Senators.
Well, hopefully that's a much better thing to aim for than to aspire to be the level of the Leafs and not be making the playoffs this season.
You know we're in trouble when we're trying to aspire to ascend to the level of the Leafs.
Chris, one more question before we let you go, and I'm going to totally shift gears on you. Is Tiger going to win the Masters?
You know, I think I'm going to say no, because so much of the Masters is putting. And I thought, you know, I think Tiger won this tournament on the weekend, I think, more with his tee to green game. I mean, his work with Sean Foley there in terms of developing his full swing action has been great. I think he's made great progress there. I still don't see that confident putting stroke that we saw from him that he was using when he won those 14 majors. And I think that's such a key at Augusta. I don't think the tee to green stuff is as important there as it is as the work on the greens is. And I still see just a little bit of looseness there, that lack of confidence in his putting stroke. So I think he's definitely going to be a contender. But I just don't know if his putting is there to is there to take advantage at Augusta National.
Well, we all look forward to seeing it. It's going to be exciting just to have Tiger back in the conversation again.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be just a great pageant, to tell you the truth, with Rory McIlroy, and we're seeing Ernie Els kind of come back to the fore again. There's so many great players. I think this sets up as being one of the most interesting Masters in a few years.
You can read them on Twitter at CJ_Stevenson or in the Sun media chain of newspapers and internets. Chris Stevenson, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
We'll catch you soon.
All right.
There he goes, Chris Stevenson.
Thank you, CJ.
Maybe I can call him CJ next time. Yeah.
Yes, you can. Sorry about that disc, Hoffman. It didn't exactly come out the way I wanted it.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. It takes time to figure out how to ask the questions properly.
To be a jerk to you, too. Sorry.
You are forgiven. What's up, Jimmy?
I just want to think to spell Stevenson, because it's always the PH.
Oh,
the
yes.
V.
It's a V. It's spelled the cool way.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And if my dad, Stephen, is listening, I'm sorry, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. My cousin, Stephen, also is spelled with a PH. I should change my phone, my contacts, because I think I have it spelled the wrong way.
Well, like it matters.
Right? Yeah. Jimmy just pointed at me like, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
How dare you? Yeah. Jimmy, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll give away a gift certificate to Brewtopia.
The Brew.
Which you should use next Saturday night to go see the Jimmy Riggers. If you liked them in studio last week, you're going to love them in concert at Brew. They met at Brewtopia at an open mic night, David and Andre, 10 years ago. This will be their first show at Brewtopia. Insane. And it's going to be great. This is the Kaufman Show, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. What are you guys doing Saturday night? That's right, you're going to see the Jimmy Riggers at Brewtopia. We said we'd plug their show tonight, but we can't plug their show tonight. It already happened. It's in the past. It's gone. Goodbye. I'm sure they were great at, what was it called? Chez Baptiste sur Maçon?
Was that it?
I believe so.
That a church?
It sounds it, but no. No, it's a state of mind.
Yes. Yes, it is.
There's a lot of religious-themed stuff in this town, man.
Yes, there is.
You ever had a drink at Le Confessional?
Well, just just drive through the rural areas of Quebec, and it's Saint-Jean sur la lac sur la, you know, it's all, yeah, everybody's a saint. Everybody's a saint.
Except for the sinners.
Yes.
Who make the best saints, right?
They do.
So we've got this wonderful little $50 gift certificate for Brewtopia Brew.
The
Pub.
Brew.
And I'm just hankering to give it away to somebody. But I want them to use it on Saturday night at the Jimmy Riggers concert.
So will it be exclusive to Saturday night only?
Can I do that?
Just write a little note on it and sign it?
And say Saturday the 31st of March only?
For the Jimmy Riggers. It'll be worth it.
And you have to buy Dave a drink?
And you have to buy Dave a drink.
I think these are all fair rules. What do you think?
Yes. They're... Your rules are fair.
It was great to have the Jimmy Riggers in studio last week.
They were great. I love their sound.
It was really fun. It was just really cool to have a whole band in here.
Yeah, even hearing it over the radio doesn't do it justice when you hear it in studio. I And we got a soundproof room here, and it just sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And we're excited to be bringing you Montreal music here on TSN 990 in the wee small hours of the morning, or on the podcast whenever the hell you feel like listening to it. But yeah, let's give this away, Jimmy. We let's go to break now, and let's take the third caller for $50 at Brewtopia. It will be good only next Saturday night at the Jimmy Riggers concert. And you have to buy me a drink. All these rules.
He's the guy in the Expos hat.
Always.
Want to give the number out? Do people know? People know the number.
514-790-0990. I'm just taking it for granted, right? 1-866-896-2546 if you're out of town and coming to town this weekend. Otherwise, 514-790-0990. For a $50 gift certificate to Brewtopia Brew Pub. When we come back on the other side of the break, Kaufman Show legal analyst Dan Gradinsky. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Ferrara. Jay, you love that song, don't you?
Yeah, it brings me back. Brings me back to watching Night Court when I was a kid.
Oh, wait till you hear what we close the segment on. Let's bring in our next guest. He is the Kaufman Show legal analyst, legal eagle, if you will, from the firm of Borden, Ladner, and Gervais in Montreal. Yeah, pretty big wheel down at the Cracker Factory, this guy. Let's welcome Dan Gradinsky to the show.
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
We're great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I got to say that the Night Court theme really gets me. But I want to know: are you saying I've got like a kindred spirit of sorts with Dan, the lawyer from Night Court?
Well, I wasn't going to be comparing you to Marky Post, so yeah, absolutely.
I was going to ask which character you see yourself as.
That's what I was. So I was going through the list as I was listening. That I'm like, I guess it's not quite Harry, and hopefully it's not Bull.
Well, but can there be a little bit of Bull in there?
I guess a little bit. Yeah.
So what's going on in the legal world? You promised us that whenever anything major was happening, you would be giving us your time pro bono, I might add, which is greatly appreciated.
Well, that's absolutely right. One of the the bigger stories coming out in the last couple weeks has been the bounty program with regard to the New Orleans Saints. And this is pretty much unprecedented, where it turns out the New Orleans Saints over the last 3 years, ever since the 2009 Super Bowl year, the players and the coaches have been putting together their money, and every time one of the defensive players knocks out a player on the other team with a hard hit, either for a game or a more severe injury, he was getting rewarded. And as a result, well, there's some serious sanctions that came down from the NFL just recently. We have head coach Sean Payton. He's suspended for 1 year. Defensive coordinator Greg Williams, he's been suspended indefinitely. It was him who was basically running the bounty system.
He's not even with the team anymore, Dan. He's in St. Louis.
Correct, correct. So he basically has lost his job in St. Louis for the time being, and I wouldn't expect to see him back anytime shortly.
Right.
And then you have the GM as well, and then perhaps more importantly for any fan of the New Orleans Saints, a second-round pick in 2012, a second-round pick in 2013, and a $500,000 fine as well. So is that all? No. They're still investigating players.
Right, actually. They still haven't come down on the players yet.
Yeah, so I mean, you will likely see some suspensions coming either against current players with New Orleans Saints, to players that have gone on to other teams, or I guess there's nothing really they could do with retired players, but except to drag their name through the mud. So
let's play a hypothetical game because those are always fun to play, Dan. And let's say that there's a player who was injured and his career was terminated from one of these bounty hits. Do they have legal recourse?
He has. The player, if he's essentially lost a part of his career, whether it's a year or two, and it seems to be as a result of a hit that was, you know, rewarded by this bounty system, he does have a case. I'm not going to say for 100% that he would win it, but he'll at least have a chance to go to court and be able to say, look, I accept as a player, as an offensive player, that I'm going to get hit. I accept that there's a risk of me getting hurt. But it's not within the rules of the game to expect other players not only to hit me as hard as they can, but to hit me with the intent of hurting me. And if you blow out a knee, for example, on a hard hit, if you hit someone helmet to helmet and you did it intentionally, then that's really going outside the rules of the game. And there's a chance there that the players themselves would be able to successfully sue either the NFL or more particularly the New Orleans Saints or even this particular player who hit them.
We're in conversation with Kaufman Show legal analyst Dan Gradinsky from the firm of Borden, Ladner & Gervais. Dan, is there any reason to think that this stops at the New Orleans Saints?
Well, not really. Keep in mind that Greg Williams himself has been, I think he was also coaching with the Redskins beforehand, with the Titans, and there have been rumblings elsewhere, although I haven't been able to find him, but other players have mentioned that this was something that might be common practice elsewhere. So the question is well, why is the NFL coming down so hard on this? It's really pretty simple. Right now, the NFL's got a big problem with concussions.
Right.
Not just the NFL, NHL, other sports as well. But they've now got 36 separate lawsuits filed by a total of 659 former NFL players saying, all these years we were playing, we knew that we would hurt our bodies. We knew there was that risk, but we didn't know about the risk of concussions, of head injuries, and the effects that would have later on in life. And essentially what they're saying is the NFL knew this all along and didn't tell the players, didn't take the measures necessary for them to be able to protect themselves.
They accuse them of knowing since the 1920s, since the foundations of the original, you know, AFL-NFL.
Yeah, that's the accusation. That certainly hasn't been proven yet. It might be a bit hard to prove.
Might be.
But, you know, going forward, each given year, you go into the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, the knowledge about what happens with a concussion gets more and more, you know, obviously it's more intense and people are able to get a better sense of it. But as a professional player, you might not know nearly as much as the NFL's doctors would. And so what the NFL is trying to say is, well, it's essentially two things. It might not help them with the past claims, but any of the current or future claims that might come up, they're able to say, look, we value player safety 100%. We're trying to protect it. And certainly in no way are we supporting or endorsing a program that's going to be put in place by teams to intentionally hurt other players. So this is basically they're trying to protect themselves from the liability side.
Now let's move this forward, Dan, to the Jeremy Shockey Warren Sapp situation from last week. Now, NFL players aren't normally known to be highly litigious, especially for, you know, things like defamation of character. Things like that are usually settled on the gridiron, aren't they?
Well, normally, but the two characters in this little play is Jeremy Shockey and Warren Sapp, and Warren Sapp is no longer in the league. He's an analyst with the NFL Networks. And he basically tweeted last week and called Jeremy Shockey a snitch. He said he was the one who had ratted out the New Orleans Saints to the league office. Now, how did he do this? He said that I heard it from a reasonable source. He doesn't say anything beyond that. He says, I didn't hear it from the league, and I didn't check it with the league. So that being said, if Jeremy Shockey is able to show, and presumably the league would be able to confirm this, whether he was or he was not the snitch, if he's not the snitch, then that gets close to being defamation of character. He'll be able to, he's actually threatened to sue Warren Sapp so far.
Dan, am I crazy to think that this has always gone on in the NFL, that bounties are a part of football at all levels?
Well, your guess is as good as mine, but I'm tending to think that this has probably been the case for quite some time. I mean, you certainly hear guys all the time talk about how hard they want to hit someone and knock them out. And, you know, in the spirit of battle, they'll throw out some pretty crazy stuff. But, I mean, every time you mic up Ray Lewis, I mean, I get afraid just sitting there listening to him.
Dan, how is the NFL ever going to be touched in a court of law, considering their monopoly?
Well, if they're still going to be able to be sued, that's not going to affect any possibility of the players themselves being able to sue if the NFL was doing something wrong, and basically if they weren't disclosing knowledge of the concussions. The antitrust issues are really only going to get into certain other issues, is being able to basically fine the coach and say, hey, we're stopping you from earning your livelihood. Sean Payton, you're not allowed to coach an NFL team for a year. It's things like that where the antitrust will come in. But it's less important when it really just discusses this, the question of liability for knowledge about concussions, or for basically failing to act if there was such a bounty program in place.
Could this be the beginning of the end of football as we know it?
I'm not expecting it. Certainly considering the NFL games are still by far the highest rated things on television. People seem to accept that there's a risk of concussion.
Hold on, Dan. You can't use that as the example, because 2.5 Men is the highest rated sitcom. It doesn't mean it's good.
I'm sure we'll find a lot of people who might disagree with you. I might not be one of them.
Bring them on.
you'll find them. I'm sure many of your loyal listeners are out listening to 2.5 Men. So.
Right. But I'm dead serious, because at one point, let's say that these 600 players can sue the league successfully to say that concussions have shortened their lifespans. I mean, that's going to add that's a pretty big black eye in the league, isn't it?
That's a pretty big black eye, and that's a very big bill that you'll be paying. But at the end of the day, we're talking billions and billions of dollars here for the NFL. So I'm not expecting them to go anywhere anytime soon. I expect it's very likely, I'd say, that some of these suits are actually going to get settled over time. Maybe not all of them, but at least some of them.
Well, may your firm be the ones to settle them. Dan Gradinsky, thank you so much. Dan Gradinsky, yes.
One last thing I want to throw in here.
Yeah, of course.
Given we're talking about the New Orleans Saints, and I'm both the legal analyst for the Kauffman Show, and I hope also to some extent the travel agent. Next year, you're going to have a Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Oh, my.
And that falls right in the middle of Mardi Gras. So what the city of New Orleans is doing is they're splitting up Mardi Gras in half. So you have the first weekend of Mardi Gras, then the Super Bowl, then the final weekend of Mardi Gras. So if you've got plans for a vacation sometimes, consider it the city of New Orleans.
Are you, as my lawyer, advising me to go down there with you next year?
That's a council-approved vacation decision, Dave.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I was there. I was there last year, the week after the Saints got knocked out by the Seahawks, and the city was just not feeling the love like they would, I'd imagine, for Super Bowl weekend.
Probably not.
Let's go rob a bank and let's make that happen.
That sounds like a good idea, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Dan. That's Dan Gradinsky from Borden Ladner Gervais, who I just implied that we're going to go rob a bank together. That's the Kauffman Show legal analyst.
That's definitely the Kauffman Show legal analyst.
All right. So let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Jeremy Taggart from Our Lady Peace.
Nice.
And then stay tuned. We've got the only pair of tickets left in this city. Yeah, that's right. It's the LA Law theme. This is the Kauffman Show with Jay Farrar humming along. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
last before read the lips. Now let it linger. Is there anything that makes them sound sincere? Come on, tightly hold your hand. Take a deep breath. Give them the finger. Are you worried that the thoughts are not quite clear? Twitch. All that look unfit heartbeat. I remember falling. I remember marching like a one-man army through the blaze. I know I'm coming. I believe in something. I don't want to.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We're heading into uncharted territory right now, aren't we, Jay?
Yes, we are.
This is the first time since the show has started that we've had a return guest.
Aside from our legal analyst.
Yeah. Aside from the regular contributors to the show.
Right.
Our regular contributors to the show.
Yeah. Not a bad guest either.
No.
We'll have him on every week.
He passed the audition last time, and since then I've actually gotten to meet him, which was pretty cool. And he was a part of that bucket list concert that I went to in Toronto a few weeks back. And his band, Our Lady Peace, will be at the Corona Theater next Monday night. The show is sold out, but fret not. We will be giving away a pair of tickets on the show tonight. Let's welcome Jeremy Taggart back to the program. Hey, Jer.
Hey, folks. How are you guys?
We're
you
great.
Doing good?
Yeah, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really amazing. I'm enjoying this this flip-flop of weather we're having.
Is it as crazy in Toronto?
Yeah, you know, it's supposed to, was it 16 tomorrow and then 4 the next day or something?
Oh, man. Well, perfect time to head out on the road on tour, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's good that the at least the Masters is coming up. Try and ease all the pain of the travel.
Do you have a TV on your bus, or how do you navigate that?
Yes, we have. Most buses these days have satellites on them nowadays, so it's possible.
Well, that's I can imagine we'll all be looking forward to your live tweeting. I think it'll rival Norm MacDonald's, won't it?
I think so. I bet. Yeah. I don't know about how does Norm MacDonald golf?
I don't know if he golfs or not, but he's been live tweeting the last few events, and just to the consternation of all of his followers who are obviously not huge golf fans, but it's like a full on play by play, like Tiger lines it up as a tweet. It'll even be for like, it'll be like Hunter Mahan is standing on the tee box. It's random, and it goes on and on and on. And if you like Norm and you like his humor, did you ever see his sports show?
I've heard about it, and I know how funny he can be.
He has his moments.
Yes. He can be kind of overstating the obvious to the point of madness, but that's his shtick.
Well, the one episode that I really enjoyed was when he had Manny Pacquiao on and told him and then showed him the $25,000 bet ticket that he'd put on him. Which I thought was pretty, ballsy and quite different from Norm's brother Neil over at the CBC.
No, there you go.
Oh, Jay, you looked at me surprised. You didn't know that?
I didn't know. I had no idea.
Neil MacDonald, the foreign correspondent on The National.
Is really?
Is Norm's brother. Yeah, if you close your eyes, they sound exactly the same.
I'm going to do that next time.
Yeah, it'll make 10 o'clock a lot trippier.
Far cry from Weekend Update.
So we're all really excited. The show is sold out, and our thanks to Evanko for both getting Jay and I in for the show next week, but also for the giveaway. Why don't you tell your fans what to expect from this tour?
Well, I mean, we're kind of playing smaller places just to get this record rolling, but I think it's going to be really different because, for one, we're stepping into the boundaries of, like, different lighting, and I don't know how to explain it, but when you see it, you'll know that it's just kind of a different experience for certain songs in the set. So the fact that we're in a small club and visually it'll be a lot different, and the fact that we have, you know, Robin Hatch joining us now on keyboards, so there's just a little bit of a different, I guess, tweak to what's happening. But in terms of the performance and the songs and, you know, all our old stuff and everything that's about, you know, what Our Lady Peace is is the best part is the fact that we're just working really hard and rehearsing our asses off just to really play well.
Wouldn't surprise me. I know you had did you play CMW this week, or were you just attending all sorts of shows?
Yeah, you know what? We were rehearsing super kind of long days, and I kind of forayed into the night a couple of nights. Like I saw Wintersleep at the Horseshoe at like 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and it was that kind of a week where you rehearse all day and go out and catch a couple great bands and then just kind of go back to work. But it's nice to see Canadian music so healthy, that's for sure.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing, well displayed at the concert that we were both at, that you were a part of at the Shoe.
Yeah, that was a good example for sure of what the possibilities are in this country now. And it's bands like the Arkells and obviously Wintersleep and I can't even go on and on and on. There's so many. Passion Pit, that's another band that's blowing up. there's so many new bands that I can't believe it.
The one that really impresses me lately is Hey Rosetta, and they're up for the best new artist at the Junos this year, which I don't understand. This is their third album, and they've toured extensively, and they're a great band.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's you hear people kind of go on and on about, you know, what it is about Canada, and I think the fact that we give back to our arts community, and we allow a chance for funding a lot of musical things that other countries don't do, and I think that's got a lot to do with why we're lucky, you know.
Well, let's hope that the governments continue to support and fund the arts, Mr. Taggart.
Yeah.
That wouldn't that be swell?
Lots of rocks to sell.
And speaking of,
got plenty of rocks left.
Well, one of those is Curve, which is out on April 3rd. I don't know if we'd call it a rock, but it's definitely a rock record. And how's that for a segue, Jared? Not too shabby.
Excellent.
Can you tell us a bit about the record?
Well, I mean, in a sense, we kind of went, I guess, back to what a band is in its inception, which is a performer, or an artist is a performer first, and when you go into the studio, you try and capture what that is. And I think in the 90s, and being on a major label for
Jer, wherever you just step back, because we totally just lost you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Perfect.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
I'm saying the way radio was kind of in the 90s, you kind of had to have a few songs that were almost would fit into a, you know?
Nope. We just totally lost you, Jer.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. And it sounded like such an important thing that you were about to say, too. Want to try it one more time?
Am I better now? Is it better now?
It sounds great right now. I'm worried about when we go beyond the "Can you hear me now" part. And you say the momentous stuff.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm back. Right.
All right.
Okay. So no. In the 1990s, when being on a major label for 7 records, it just there was an element of a handful of songs on the record that would had to kind of keep in mind for radio and to kind of fit into a type of almost a formula in a sense, and on this record it, kind of radio isn't really around like it used to be, you know. So and we're being the fact that we're an independent band gives us the opportunity to just kind of play songs that are more based on a live performance, and that's what this record is. It's a sonic kind of thing, you know, as opposed to songs for radio or whatever, you know.
Do you mind that the industry has sort of moved that way, that the live performance is the be-all end-all for the artist right now?
Well, that's kind of the way it's supposed to be, but the fact that, you know, music has kind of been on that gravy train in a sense from the 70s, the 60s and 70s and 80s and even the 90s, it was just so much money going around that now that it's kind of gotten back to reality. You know, so I think it's all about if you can fill a room, then you go from there, as opposed to, you know, getting thrown in front of a million people by virtue of one song, you know.
Yeah, which leads to concerts at the Bell Center that I just don't understand, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Bills that I don't get how 13,000 let alone the fact that they're screaming, but 13,000 people are paying to go see them for one hit songs.
I've always been a fan of a band that has some depth in the musicianship, where there's the players on stage are kind of conversing, not just playing the song that you've heard on the record or radio, you know.
So you're a huge Bieber fan then?
I am a Belieber.
Oh, man.
Not the response I expected.
I am a Belieber.
It must be an Ontario thing, like, then. I don't know.
when he tweets you, it's like you've been put on a shelf at Walmart and everyone will buy you. You know what I mean? Like, you're all of a sudden just like put the only thing, like, I like this today. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's just going to get swept up.
Yeah, but by who?
By his 18 million people country of Beliebers.
Oh, it's insane. All that from a kid from Stratford, Ontario. I don't know how it happens, but...
It is unbelievable. It's hilarious. It's just the power of marketing, you know, gone right to his smartphone.
We're in conversation with Jeremy Taggart from Our Lady Peace. They're in town on Monday at the Corona Theater. The show is sold out, but... we've got a pair of tickets. We're going to give it away afterwards. Jay and I came up with a very clever trivia question. If you were listening last time Jeremy was on the show, you will get it. So stay tuned for that. Jer, when I sent an email to the rest of the shows at the station today to tell them that you were on, I also mentioned that you have one of the most impressive baseball memorabilia collections in the country. Now, let's forget about Geddy Lee for a second, because I know his is in a whole other level. But can you tell us a bit about yours?
Well, I mean, when I was let's not forget, I was 17 when the band started, and you know, we had success early on, you know, when I was in my early 20s. So, you know, instead of buying stuff like cars or drugs or, you know, things like that, I bought baseball stuff, and a lot of it. I mean, growing up, I was a huge, not just baseball fan, but baseball history fan, I just kind of went into the some of my favorite players were Ted Williams, and I had Ted Williams' last game used bat, and I was a huge Nolan Ryan fan, so I have a bunch of Nolan Ryan stuff. I have his 4,000 strikeout game ball, his 300 win game ball, his 7th no hitter game ball, and so I had a 73 strikeout record year jersey. There was only two of those. I'd sold that, but I mean, just I had a lot of ridiculous stuff, you know. But I mean, that's kind of that was my, you know, toys for sure.
Well, I flipped out when I saw your Cy Young ball on Twitter, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a 1933 old timers at the time signed ball, and it has, you know, Jimmy Fox and Lefty Grove, and you know, I think there's about three or four, you know, unbelievable players on there. Frank Home Run Baker. It's crazy. Just one ball to have all these greats.
And you don't feel weird to, like, we were having a conversation on Twitter. I'll give everybody context. And we were talking about baseball memorabilia, and every couple of minutes you'd put up a picture of you holding a ball with just some crazy autograph on it. And aren't you terrified taking those balls out of their protective cases? Please tell me they're in protective cases.
Yeah, they're in cases, but yeah, they're, you know, I grab them. I don't just palm all over the autographs, but I'll pick them up. They're baseballs, you know. To have it and to see those guys, you know, signing it, just that's part of the thing. You know, I have, you know, a few things that it's just like I have some Beatles checks, and to not be able to touch it kind of makes it weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw your George Harrison and John Lennon checks over the weekend. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and those are those just things that, like I said, like when you're a kid and you got some extra cash, you buy stupid stuff, and sometimes you know, I was smart in a sense, because a lot of that stuff has gone up as opposed to not going anywhere. So, again, those things will probably turn into a renovation or landscaping.
Well, as long as you're okay with walking away from it, I imagine that there's a certain amount of you know, personal memories and significance to each of those pieces.
Yeah, but you know what? I love baseball more than what I had or collected, you know, and my, you know, I don't care if my kids never see it or and it becomes an addition. Like I love the game, but to be honest, it's cool, but it is what it is. It's a ball that a guy signed, you know, or a bat that a guy used or a jersey that a guy wore. It's really cool to have, but at the same time, it's still a material thing, you know, but it's still pretty cool.
Well, when you're able to, you know, like you said, put an addition on the house or, you know, landscape, yeah. a green for the golf course or something, then yeah. I guess it comes out, it's sort of like buying and trading stock, if you will.
It is. I mean, to be honest, if I would have bought a lot of that stuff in stocks in the 90s, I probably would have lost my shirt in the late 90s. So, you know, that's the way it is.
Well, and then there wouldn't be a TV on the bus going on tour, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So thank exactly. goodness for small miracles.
Absolutely.
And yeah. It sounds like it's going to be a great show next Monday. We are super excited for it.
Thank you. I'm stoked too. I'm going to try and come on after the show. I can see if I can do that. That'd be cool.
That would be a lot of fun. Our door is always open to you, and we'll be in touch this week about figuring out the details on that. That's right, Jay. Surprise.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm right in there. I'll just stomp in there and I'll just bring in my old Expos jersey, talk Vladimir Guerrero stories.
Are we going to hear a little We Are All Innocent?
If you like. Yeah. I don't wear gloves either.
Just the drum parts.
That's good enough for me. It's got a good drum beat to it.
It sure does.
Yeah. That's my request.
Jeremy Taggart, thanks so much for your time tonight, and we'll see you next week at the Corona Theater.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you.
Catch you
soon.
Great
talking to you.
Thanks, man. You too.
Awesome.
There he goes. Jeremy Taggart from Our Lady Peace.
Awesome. That's what he said, and that's what I'm saying.
And considering you just blew the trivia question, we're going to have to.
Oh. Whoops. Oh, really? Did we talk about this? I should pay more attention.
Well, the wasn't the trivia question going to be what was the post-game show theme song?
Oh,
and that'd be the song that you just asked.
I thought maybe we're talking about our post game show.
Yes, our NCAA Final Four post game show.
It was a hint.
It was a hint.
I didn't give it away.
All right. Well, in that case, you want to ask the question?
Yeah.
Did I just give it away?
No, you didn't.
No,
not necessarily. I mean, I may or may not have mentioned it earlier. So the question is.
Go ahead, Jay.
While the Montreal Expos were being aired here on TSN 990, at the time the Team 990, what was the name of the song by Our Lady Peace that they played during the post-game show?
And we're going to make this a two-part question because I still feel like we gave away the answer to part one of it. Who was the host of that post-game show?
Very good.
Yes. Yes, we were all big fans. Jimmy, let's do this live on air. Let's just bring them right up. Hello, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're listening. You're on the Kaufman Show.
Sorry about that. It's John in Denver.
Hey, John in Denver.
John in Denver.
John in Denver calling in to win tickets for next Monday's Our Lady Peace Show?
Oh, I'm an idiot. I'm not going to be in Montreal. My apologies, guys.
No worries. Why do you stay on hold?
I will absolutely stay on hold.
I apologize.
No worries, John. We'll stay on hold, and we'll get right back to you in a couple of minutes.
Thanks. Sorry about that.
No worries. Let's go to the next call. What's your name, and where are you calling from? What, is that, like, not work? When I say that, is this mic on? Hello, welcome to TSN 990. My name is Dave Kaufman, and I want to give you concert tickets. What's
your
name? You're
on the air.
No, you are not. They hung up on me. Let's go to the next one, Jimmy. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Who am I speaking with?
This is Dave.
Dave. This is Dave.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to make things really easy for Jay.
Where are you calling from, Dave?
From Dorval.
Dorval. Dave from Dorval.
Dave, do you have an answer to our two-part trivia question?
I'd like to hear the second part again. Sure. I think it's We Are All Innocent.
We'll accept that, even though the song is called Innocent, but we'll take it. Now, the second part of the question was, who hosted the Montreal Expos postgame show that used Innocent as the theme song?
I'm going to go with Elliot Price.
I was expecting it to make the sound, but no, you are wrong. Let's go to the next caller. Welcome to the Kaufman Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's still John in Denver waiting on hold.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Did he call back?
No, he sat there on hold and Jimmy went back to line one. Serenity now. Serenity now. Oh, serenity man. Now.
Are there multiple Johns from Denver?
Let's go to the next one. Phone lines are a couple of lines free. 514-790-0990. We're trying to give away tickets to this sold-out concert next week. And let's see if we have our lucky listener right now. Welcome to the show.
It's Andrew calling from Montebello Boys.
Andrew, chef. Tell me you know the name of the post-game show host.
God, I'm taking a stab, seriously. I'm praying it was Melnick.
No, Melnick makes too much money to be on that late at night. Come on.
Oh, there it is.
Thanks. Wow, sure, cut me off. Like I'm swearing or something.
Oh, my God, that hurts so much.
Oh, chef, I'm sorry, bro. I wanted you to win. I really did.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot, boys.
Have a good night. Are people's memories that short?
Let's go to John in Denver.
No, we're not line three here. Let's go to line three.
Oh.
No, this is becoming, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. Take a commercial.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm done.
Dave Kaufman has literally left the studio. We have an incident here at the Kaufman Show.
All right, one more, Jimmy. One more, and then we take a break. This is the Kaufman Show. Who am I speaking with?
It's Eric from Montreal.
Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, guys.
Eric, who used to host the post-game show for the Expos?
I think it's our very own Dave Kaufman.
Oh, no. No. No.
Sorry, guys.
That would be awful self-serving of me to answer for Dave
what
Kaufman to be the
question,
answer.
Yeah.
All right, next one, Jimmy. Good evening. This is the Kaufman Show. Who am I talking to?
It's Dave again. I was hoping maybe you'd want to give them to me.
Oh, my God. What is going on
here,
Dave?
Big fan of the band. I was out of town when they went on sale, and they're gone.
Oh, I'll tell you what. We've got two more callers on the line.
Okay.
If neither of them can get it, you stay on hold. You will win the tickets. One of them just hung up. So you have a really good chance right now. Let's go to line three, Jimmy. Line three, you're on the Kaufman Show. What's your name?
My name is Brian.
Brian, do you know the name of the post-game show host in 2003 and 2004 for
Terry
Montreal
Hague.
Expos games? No, not okay. Terry Hague, but thank you for the call.
Okay, bye.
Man, that thing is terrifying.
We've got a nicer buzzer
honestly,
somewhere.
That buzzer just... And you're wrong.
That was a much nicer, right, much more polite buzzer.
Back to line two. Line two. Sorry, what's your name again, bro? It's Dave,
Dave,
right?
Dave, yeah.
Dave, you win the tickets, man.
You're awesome, guys.
You're going to the show, but don't you remember Gabrielle Morency?
Oh, of course, Gabrielle Morency, of course. I got to apologize to Gabrielle.
Can I do my best? Keep the music down because it doesn't fit in with the...
And no buzzers, Jimmy.
And we're missing the What's Ripping Montreal?
That's not bad.
Let's go to North Star. Who was the guy at the gas station? There was somebody too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, on Côte Saint-Luc, the guy at the gas station.
Somebody from the gas station.
Yeah, what was his name?
Somebody's going to know. So you're going to the show next week. Congratulations. You've got two tickets. Give your name to Jimmy, and you will be on the guest list plus one for the Our Lady Peace concert next Monday night at the Corona Theater.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
And we're going to be on late, so the show will be over in plenty of time for you to get back to your radio and tune into the Kaufman Show.
Oh, have it on the way home for sure.
Good stuff. Hopefully Jeremy Taggart from the band will be joining us as he
that'd be very good,
as he hinted at there.
Yeah.
And thank you for ending this chaos which just ensued.
Yes, allows me to...
You guys are really cool about it. Thank you.
Hey, we do our best. Have a great night, Dave. Enjoy the concert.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Whew.
Isn't it fitting that the guy with my name, was he the first caller, too?
No, I think John from Denver was
John
the first
caller.
And the third and the fifth. I've never seen you react that way. Of course, our listeners didn't see it, but Dave literally threw off his earphones and trotted into the hallway and said, "That's it. I thought I was alone doing the show from now on."
Congratulations to Dave for winning the Our Lady Peace tickets. We will see you there. Our thanks to Jeremy Taggart. Let's take a little break. Then we'll come back and speak to John in Denver. This is The Kaufman Show.
Again?
And we'll be back. Back to the Kaufman Show. That's Joel Plaskett with Somewhere Else off his new album Scratch Happiness. He'll be at the Corona Theater April 25th. Cross your fingers. Maybe we'll get some tickets to give away for that too. You know, we haven't heard in a while, Jimmy. I'm Joel Plaskett, and you're listening to the Kaufman Show. You got to find that for me a little later. We'll cue it up before we play one of his songs.
You okay now?
I'm great.
Let me rub your temples, Dave.
No, that wasn't a Teevan type flip.
Okay,
out.
All right.
That was more funny than anything. All I was thinking was, are memories that short?
I hope not.
Because for me, the Gabriel Morenci Expos post-game experience was as much a part of the game. I mean...
Oh, it was so entertaining.
You know, I always joke with Mitch that I never really heard him do color commentary because I was always at the games. Elliot I'd hear because Elliot was on the road. Gabe Morenci I'd hear because I was driving home from the stadium. And my plan that every night was to go home and hang out and listen to Gabe and listen to the Expos postgame show and then watch it descend into madness.
Kind of like our last segment.
That was fun.
Yep.
That was fun. I love that the first person through for the contest was the guy that we'll be speaking to right now, John in Denver. No longer Crazy John, just John the Rational.
Excuse me, this is Patrick in Quebec City. No, I'm kidding.
Patrick in Quebec City, really?
No, I'm kidding. Oh. Nah.
Patrick is not even a real name.
Patrick.
I figured last segment was so funny, why not start it off the same way?
Well, you did your best.
Yeah.
Where's that buzzer, good. Jimmy?
Go ahead, I deserve it. You might even dump me off the air.
No. How are you, sir?
I am well. Well, not that well, because I'm getting ready to start golfing.
Okay.
The abs are done.
Oh, okay. I now get it. Oh,
yeah. It
and I'm sorry. The people of Montreal are supposed to feel bad for you because
oh, they are because I'm an institution there now, aren't I?
Yes, you're. you're like Mr. Boustan.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's okay. You have not.
I'm an
had...
American. I'm not supposed to, right?
Well, I don't know. As an American, I think we should encourage you eating more Lebanese food.
Anyone who's left the bar at 4 a.m. knows who Mr. Boustan is.
Oh well, we have those places out here.
Okay.
There's a gyros cart right outside the bar area.
Excuse
that
me,
has
sorry.
Lines for an hour.
Repeat that one more time. There's a what?
Gyros. There's a gyros cart
gyros.
Outside all of the bar.
Okay, is that like
gyro
or what they would?
Excuse me for not being Greek.
Well. I don't know.
More cultured. I'm an American. What do you expect?
It's kind of hard for me to forgive anybody for not being Greek.
Well, and I seem to have gotten day. The for you've given me your forgiveness, right?
Well, our people have been working together for a long time.
And we will continue
we
to. John,
I
mean, what can we do?
I had something to talk about.
Yeah, bring it on, man.
I think I forgot about it.
Was it Tim Tebow?
No, but I get to I heard you talked about me last week.
You did? What did we say?
I believe you said I must be very happy. I have 4 empty bottles of champagne to prove you correct.
Really? All because of Mr. Manning, I would imagine.
Yes.
Not because of the University of Colorado Buffaloes?
Eh. It was a good run. I was depressed for about an hour after that game, which I was at, by the way.
Yeah, well, at least you got to get to Albuquerque, right?
Oh, yeah. Nothing better than the meth capital of the U.S.
Is it really?
No, it just seemed like it. I'm sure there are worse places.
You said that with such authority.
Yeah, I've lived in the Midwest before. There's a lot of that stuff going around. Apparently Nebraska is, which I'm not surprised. Anybody would have to be on meth to live in that state.
Oh, my.
Well, hey, I can get away with it. You don't have any Nebraska.
I wouldn't be too sure.
I would. They don't even know what a puck is there.
That's not true.
You're right.
They've got a pretty good college hockey.
No, they don't. Go Pios. Beat UNO.
I don't even know what you're saying.
What is happening?
Go Denver. Beat UNO. Oh, my alma mater.
This show is just falling off the rails.
Yeah,
right now.
I know. This is not one of my better calls.
Well, that's okay, John.
It's okay. It's only your 7th of the show. So.
It's not my fault. It's Jimmy.
John, we want to thank you for entering the contest tonight.
My pleasure.
Would have been very funny if you won.
Then I would have won.
If that had been the hockey stick, you would have won, exactly.
Damn.
But you're going golfing anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Ouch.
Thank you for the call, John. Speak to you
all
soon.
Right, I'll talk to you next week. Hopefully I can ruin another one of your contests.
Please don't.
Have a good night, all.
The polemicist has chimed in again on Twitter. Honestly, I think the show is almost like a never-ending Expos postgame show sometimes. And I love it.
That's good.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take that for sure. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. It's been a very long 8-year postgame show.
The postgame show for the Expos game that wasn't played.
We'll continue it as a postgame show until it becomes a pregame show.
I can promise you that we will be upping the baseball chatter in the next few weeks as the season fast approaches. It actually starts in Japan in like a day's time. Kind of exciting. Oakland versus Seattle from Tokyo.
Well, they're going even further west, I guess. Yeah,
it's kind of standard. They've opened a few seasons in Japan now, and especially with Seattle with Ichiro there. I mean, that's an auto
right.
draw.
It makes sense. Too bad they didn't have the Texas Rangers out there.
Oh my goodness, with Darvish, I'm sure it'll happen.
Oh, it's going to happen probably next season, depending on how the young man does this year.
I would imagine that the Rangers were not in favor of starting somewhere on the road after having their season end so late 2 years in a row. Especially without winning a championship.
Yeah, you guys lost, but you're going to Japan.
Not exactly the Disney World alternative.
Huh? No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about that. Like, the NHL, was it this year or last year that the NHL started its season in Sweden and the Czech Republic?
Yes. And the NFL in England, I believe.
Not the start of the season.
Not the start.
No.
Okay.
They went over to England. I want to say it was around American Thanksgiving, but there's a London Bowl every year. There's a football game in London every year. For some strange reason, the Tampa Bay Bucks have played in it twice.
It's a big London town. They earned their spot.
So, we've got ourselves some fun now. Let's take your calls. 514-790-0990. We're here for a little while longer. Still have one more giveaway. What's going on tonight? We're just giving stuff away left, right, and center.
I'm almost afraid to give anything more away.
I know what I want to talk about before we take a break, Jimmy. Very quickly, circle your calendars, people. May the 3rd, you'll hear a lot about it from here on in on the Kaufman Show. We're going to be doing a benefit for Gary Carter, for the Gary Carter Foundation. And I apologize for the amount of time that it's taken to get this together, but we have a date that's confirmed. It will be May the 3rd, a Thursday night at Hurley's Irish Pub. I'm going to charge. It's going to cost you to get in. But you'll be entertained. We want to raise some money. And I don't want to raise just a pittance. I want to raise a decent amount of money. See what we can actually do. If anybody has any things that they'd like to donate for a silent auction, memorabilia, trips, hotels, whatever it is, whatever you got, we'll take it. 100% of all the money raised will go to the Gary Carter Foundation. 100%. Some people said to me, I'm not crazy about the idea of having the money go to the Gary Carter Foundation because it supports things in Florida. I'll write Kimmy Carter an email, and I'll ask her where she wants the money to go. But it will be in the name of Gary Carter, and nobody will be making a penny off anything. We have a few bands confirmed already. A couple that you've already heard on this show. A couple that you will hear on this show in the future. And Thursday night, May 3rd, we're going to have a great time. We're going to honor Gary Carter, listen to some music, and raise some money for some good causes. And I hope I can count on all of you to be there with us. That's pretty much it. I've resigned myself to the fact that the my suggestion for the Gary Carter tribute from the city of Montreal is not going to happen. It just hasn't picked up steam the way that it would have to in order for it to happen. I'm proud of myself. I thought it was a good idea, and I thought that, yeah, maybe it's too ambitious for politicians.
Well, remember one thing. Ideas never die, Dave.
No.
So.
No, and just because it doesn't happen right away,
yeah.
You know. And I'm sure that with someone as passionate about baseball as Roger Brulotte at the head of this thing, they will pick the right option. Whatever will be done tastefully. It will be done properly. And you and I can both rejoice, Jay, because I heard him say, anybody that's thinking about a Metro, forget it, ain't going to happen.
Good.
One of his reasonings I thought was quite interesting. There's never been a Metro station named after a Hab.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point as well. I mean, and really, who wants a Metro station named after them?
Not us.
Have you been into one of those lately?
What I do, though, you a fantasy baseball guy, Jay?
No.
Okay.
No.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm in a couple of leagues this year. I'm in one with Jimmy Murphy.
I've always wanted to do it, but I never got around to it. Well, I never seem to keep track. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, that's it. You've got to be diligent about...
Right.
You know, but it could be end of the night.
Diligence is not my forte, sir.
The last thing you do at the end of the night when you get home is just set your rosters for the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm usually setting my schedule at the pub for the next day.
Well, if you change your mind...
I got to worry about my roster.
I bet we can get you into Jimmy's pool. I think the draft is Sunday.
All right. You know what? I'll try.
Okay. I'll drop Jimmy an email and we'll get you into the pool with all the Bostonians.
Yes.
It'll be kind of fun.
Are there any incentives involved?
Not that I'm aware of. It's purely for the love of the game.
Okay.
That's okay.
That's fine.
And that makes you feel
the game.
Makes you feel like less of a dingbat when you forget to set your rosters that way, too.
Yeah, I know, because people are really keeping track when there are incentives.
No, and, but supposedly, I've been in pools where there's money involved. I've been in pools where there isn't. It's about pride at the end of the day. The amount of money in whatever pool I've been in isn't large enough to make me... You know, there's no bounty system going on.
Well, I hope your pride...
Nobody's whacking knees.
I hope your pride doesn't thoroughly depend on how well you do in a fantasy baseball pool because, you know, I've seen people who know absolutely nothing about baseball just guess by the color of uniforms and they win.
Maybe I should try that sometime.
I'm telling you, it works. It works for football, believe me.
Well, that could be fun. In the meantime, the reason I brought up fantasy baseball, it all relates back to this Metro thing. My fantasy baseball team, since the Expos have left, have had one name and one name only. The Pi-9s.
The Pi-9s?
Pi-9s.
That's what you've been calling them?
Yes.
Not the Pierre de Coubertins?
No, and not the Pi-IXs either.
I'm going to call mine the Pierre de Coubertins.
For anybody out there that is pious and or Catholic, I hope that you don't take offense to the name Pi-9s.
Yeah, because anybody who was Catholic was a real fan of Pi-9.
My parents,
they know who the heck he was.
My parents used to call it Pi-9 Metro Station.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, some of the old school Anglo-Montrealers still do, as a matter of fact. You know, go to the Jean Coutu on Pi-9.
The Jean Coutu?
The Jean Coutu.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that near Lionel Groulx?
It's near Lionel Groulx.
All right. Well, we'll continue bastardizing
the French language.
The French language as best we can. No, we won't. But I like the Pi-9's name. No, we won't.
We won't.
Second thought, that would be irresponsible and wrong, so we shall not do it. Jay, I love the name Pi-9's, and I'm sticking with it, and it's one of the reasons that I'm so steadfast in not renaming the Metro station.
That's right, and it's perfect, too, the Pi-9's. They're nine.
They're nine.
There are nine guys on a baseball field.
Thank you.
He was the ninth pope named Pi.
And who doesn't love pie? Exactly.
Right. I'll have nine pies right now.
We'll come back after the break, and I don't know, we'll talk about something important.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Why not? Mm. This is the Kaufman Show. Jay, Dave... We got Jimmy and John.
We sound like the Beatles.
Jimmy and John?
Dave, Jimmy and John. No? That's not what their names were?
Don't think we sound like the Beatles,
okay.
Man.
Okay. All right.
We got some work cut out before we sound like the Beatles. We'll be back. Here's some Bedini. It was Memorial Day 1966 last night on Mad Men, which is back after a 17-month hiatus.
Ah, more cigarettes and womanizing. I can't wait.
And a little bit of whiskey. I got to say, the bottle of Jameson has not changed a lick since back then.
No, it hasn't. It's context. It's contents either.
Well, it's the most hit or miss bottle on the planet.
It is very inconsistent.
When it's on, though, boy,
oh,
is it
boy,
on.
Is it ever.
And I think it was on at the big party for Don's surprise 40th birthday last night. A little, I guess it's something I should have said before. If you haven't seen last night's Mad Men, then we're going to blow it all for you right now.
No, please don't. I haven't seen it.
Oh, no.
No, no spoilers, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I don't care.
So that
go
part
ahead,
when
man.
They when they scale the mountain and they capture all the terrorists and
wow, I didn't see that coming.
When they hire Richard Nixon as a copywriter, I can't.
I'm afraid no. I kind of missed that.
Yeah,
no.
It was pretty cool. I mean, the whole cameo by Mickey Mantle last night was just unbelievable.
What?
Yeah, he was. Well, he was.
When was this film?
Talking about his favorite experience at Yankee Stadium.
Ah.
No, none of this happened.
None of that happened?
None of this happened.
Oh.
None of this and more on Mad Men last
night. I'm so disappointed.
Mad Men is great, and I'm so happy it's back on. They had their highest rated episode ever yesterday, 3.5 million. American people.
Well, it's been quite a while since they've been on the air. I mean, since the end of the fourth season. Is it the fourth season that ended?
Yeah, the fourth season ended a year and a half ago.
Okay, well, that makes sense, doesn't
it? It's taken a little while for it to get back and running, but boy, it just picked up right where it left off.
Has the continuity actually progressed according to real time, or are they saying it's 6 months later? Or
I think it was 1963 in the last season.
Oh, really?
I think so. If I remember correctly, I think it was season four where they dealt with the JFK assassination.
That's right. Okay.
Remember the episode that took place on the 22nd of November?
Yes.
Which was mind-blowing as far as a history lesson, because anybody I know automatically thinks that everybody got the news of the assassination from Walter Cronkite. They were watching Hunt and Brinkley on NBC.
Okay.
And then they flip a little bit to what ABC was showing as well that day. And it's, you know, I guess what would be our example? Like for me, when you think of 9/11, what broadcaster do you picture? Are we from an era where that doesn't exist anymore because there's so many channels?
At the time, I would wake up to radio. So it was from another station that I heard the news.
Okay.
Yeah, initially, a news station.
Two reporters come to mind right now. And I mean, I haven't thought about this at all. This is just sort of off the top of my head, but Aaron Brown. Remember Aaron Brown?
Yes.
CNN?
Yes.
Who was gone like 2 years later. He must have said something to piss somebody off.
Yeah. Oh, well, clearly, right? That's how you end your career.
But him standing with the tower behind him, just falling, like he was on some rooftop terrace somewhere. And the other was Peter Jennings.
Right.
Rest
the,
in peace.
The late Peter Jennings.
The late, great Peter Jennings from Ottawa, Ontario, who was... He was my favorite broadcaster growing up. I met him at the All-Star Game in 93 at the Forum.
Yeah.
And he was so nice and so personable.
I wasn't watching much of it because I was busy calling my brother because he was there.
Right, right.
He lived about 10 blocks away from the World Trade Center.
At 25 Thompson Street.
25 Thompson Street. And, I was busy calling him all day, and we were in and out of communication. And eventually I lost all communication with him. And picked it up probably the next morning, but I knew he was okay.
I'm surprised you were even able to get through at one point.
We were actually able. I think it's actually before the second tower collapsed that we were still able to communicate because I believe it did have a cell tower
on it. It did, yeah, that's right. But, you know, all to say that for Kennedy, it's Cronkite. Everybody thinks of Cronkite.
That's right.
Taking off his glasses, wiping the tear from his eye, taking a deep breath, composing himself, and then carrying forward for, he was probably on TV for 2 days straight, all the way through the funeral and everything. Mad Men took a different slant and showed us that not everybody watches CBS.
Right. So it was most people don't watch CBS.
Anybody catch Lane Price's office yesterday, the New York Mets pennant hanging on the wall? I thought that was pretty cool. So if anybody wants to go back in time to 1966, lay a bet on the 69 Mets. They're going to do okay.
They'll be all right.
They might be amazing even.
The amazing Mets.
Great Montreal tie-in to the show last night. And this won't blow anything for you, Jay.
But, okay.
You remember at the end of season four that he marries a Quebecois girl.
That's right.
Megan Calvert, played by the wonderful Jessica Paré, who literally stole every scene she was in the episode last night. And, yeah, it was a great episode. It was very cool to hear somebody yell, call this, on American television.
That's very cool to hear anybody yell at any time.
Yeah, pretty much. But, well, if Patrick Waugh gets hired, expect to hear it a lot from behind the bench in Montreal.
Yeah.
This is Jessica Paré, last night on Mad Men, and we will go out on this. Bisous tout le monde.
From Halifax, Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and you're listening to The Kaufman Show.
Well, your knuckles are bare. And red as the sun, your head pounds like fists in the night. And the woman at home, she said you're no good. You stepped out cause you know that she's right. Well, good times are found in a bottle and a Ziploc bag. When you met, it was love at first sight. Poverty win. It's 8:50 an hour. Get your ass out of bed, stand in line and work for the day. For a slave driving bastard, no better than you. You're in luck if you ever see red. Well, you've had it bad and it shows in the lines of your face. But it can't get any worse now. Shit, nothing's it you call friend. Well, it blows hard and you can't win against the poverty wind.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. That is Poverty Wind by Sarah Jane Scouten. Her and her band will be in studio next week. Can't wait. Excellent musician. Saw her on Saturday night at Le Divan Orange with Spoon River from Vancouver and Brad Barr from the Barr Brothers, who we were talking about on the show. They were on Letterman about 6 weeks ago. It's a great concert.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sarah stole the show, and we're very lucky that she'll be joining us in studio. In fact, we have a copy of her CD to give away.
Well, the bar down the street smells like home. You're supposed to escape that mildew, secondhand smoke and old brown paint. And the kid is as restless as you were his damn age. You hope that he won't, but know that he will.
First time I saw Sarah Jane Scouten, she was opening for the Jimmy Riggers at O Patro Vis. This was mid-late February. It was a few days after Gary Carter passed away. And my automatic reaction after Gary Carter died was to dive into music. And that weekend was a very music-intensive weekend for me. It helps pick me up. It helps bring me back. And her music was a huge part of it. It was a very soothing part of losing Gary Carter. So I look forward to telling her that next week in studio.
It's amazing how music works, isn't it? That half the enjoyment in music usually stems from a memory. It's not always necessarily how good the music and the instrumentation and the singing and the lyrics are, but half of what you've enjoyed in your life brings you back to a time when you first heard it.
It smells, sights, sounds.
Yep.
All the senses, right?
Yeah, it is. And that's half the enjoyment in music. That's why it's so important.
I said to her on Saturday night that I feel that I've gained a maturity in my music tastes that I can now appreciate her music.
You're way ahead of me, bud.
Well, there was a time, Jay, when I wouldn't listen to anything that wasn't rock and roll. Just full-on rock and roll. And I've grown up a little bit.
A little bit,
just
yeah.
A little bit. I already told you guys about what to do on Saturday night, which is the Jimmy Riggers at Brewtopia. Going to be a wonderful show. And our congratulations go to Andrew Scarpetas.
Scarpetas?
Yeah.
Is he one of my people?
I'm assuming. I made a face like he was.
Is it an IS at the end?
No, it's AS.
AS, Scarpetas. It might not be.
Really?
It might not be Greek.
Well, it sounds it.
Okay.
So,
yeah, as long as it sounds it, then he's Greek, right? Clearly.
You know you're in with the Kaufman Show when. So Andrew
Gyros.
Will be with his, no, was it Gyros? Gyros.
Gyros.
It was Gyros,
oh,
I
boy.
Think. Yeah. Andrew, congratulations. You've won $50 to Brewtopia Brew Pub.
The Brew.
The Brew on Crescent Street below St. Catherine. That's the plan for Saturday night. The plan for Friday night is a huge benefit at Hurley's Irish Pub. Sue Varinsky, the lovely, talented Sue, the bartender at Hurley's, is putting on a fundraiser for her high school where she works, not just so you don't get any ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the hiring like over at Hurley's?
No. And no. Okay. So there's a huge benefit. It's her high school, LCCHS, which is in LaSalle. LaSalle Comprehensive, I believe. And and I just say that to no LCC benefits. This is an LCCHS
right.
benefit. Two very different schools. They're doing they're fundraising for a trip to Ecuador. These kids got to get to the Galapagos, man. And they're doing a full raffle Friday night, anytime after 6 o'clock. The Habs play the Rangers at 7:30. $10 gets you a pint, finger foods, and entrance into the night only special raffle. Additional raffle tickets: one for $5, three for $10. You can win a Maurice Richard signed Habs jersey.
Wow.
Yeah. Those don't come around too often anymore.
No, not anymore. The man's been gone for a little bit.
Yeah,
while
since May of 2000, to be exact. And that would be a pretty cool piece of memorabilia to get your hands on. And you can do so for as little as $10. So get your butts down to Hurley's. They're going to be raffling off the jersey as soon as the Habs game ends. Go down and support the kids. have a drink, and help them get to Ecuador. Sounds like the right thing to do, doesn't it?
I don't know about the Ecuador part, but is it safe to go down to South America these days? Or
Well, it's a pretty big continent.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't generalize. I would imagine that if they're taking...
I always generalize. That's my problem.
Well, they're not taking them to Medellin.
No.
To visit the compound of Mr. Escobar in Colombia. I think, you know, going to see some big turtles in the Galapagos Islands, they should be all right.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, if you could, as long as you can outrun the turtles, kids.
Yeah,
everything gonna be okay.
Yeah, because they bite.
So that's our do-gooder stuff for the week.
Good.
Now we can go back to being that was our.
Now
Saints
we can go
portion.
Back to being jerks.
Go back to being sinners again.
Okay,
yes.
Let's do that.
All right. Well, what's up? You lead, I'll follow.
Oh boy, where do I begin? Not so sure. I'll be a jerk tomorrow. Tomorrow night on Game Points, I'm filling in.
Yeah, you must be excited about that. You and Mo Khan, right?
Yeah, it'll be me and Mo Khan, and I'll have somebody else to pick on besides you, Dave.
12 to 2.
12 to 2 a.m. And Matthew's not going to be able to make it, so I'll be down there and chatting it up a little bit with Mo Khan.
Down
see where
there
that goes.
Being, you'll be exactly where you're
where
sitting.
Where I'm sitting right now. Actually, right. I think Mo actually sits here. So I'm going to be out of my element.
Yeah, you're going to take the big boy chair?
I might take the big boy chair.
Oh, boy.
Your chair.
Oh. I want to hear you host this. I don't know. I don't know how available I'm going to be during the show. But
why don't you call in?
Well, why don't you call me if you want me to do a segment with
sure,
you?
That would be awesome. I we'll can use all the help I can get.
We'll do some shameless self-promotions and
and piss off Ross while we're
the
at
usual
it.
Shenanigans we do when...
Whenever we're filling in with Matthew and all we're doing is plugging our own show.
When someone from the Kaufman Show is involved with Game Points, yeah. we send all our salutations to Matthew. Matthew had a very nice article in the Montreal Gazette today about the Montreal Stars winning the Clarkson Cup. Congratulations to them. That was on page 3 of the sports section. Page 1 of the sports section had the McGill Redmen winning the CIS Hockey Championship. You would almost think that there was an excitement over hockey in the city right now. But no.
No.
That'd be crazy.
No, although we are all happy for the Redmen, of course.
Oh, and the Stars.
And the Stars.
That's awesome. I mean, we talked about that with, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a name blank. Cassie Campbell,
that's right.
Thankfully, it didn't blank too long. But we talked about the women's game with Cassie and the problems that they face. And... Well, I guess it's a put up or shut up situation, right? Nobody
right.
goes to see them. They don't make money. Maybe they need better marketing. I don't know. Do you think people would care if they were told to?
I mean, it's...
It's a tough sell, man.
Yeah, it's a saturated market. You know, it's tough. It's really, especially in Canada, I would guess. At least they're making the paper. And
especially in Canada, you think it's tough to sell the women's game? If it's not going to work in Canada, where's it going to
No,
work?
But I'm talking about the sport itself. I mean, it's... I mean, no. not at a professional NHL level, you know?
My suggestion would be to try and market it in areas that are not the big cities in this country.
But I think they do well in those areas, Dave. I mean,
not in Montreal, they don't.
Well, no, and that's what I mean. I mean, we're supposedly a big market city. Well, we are when it comes to the NHL, that's for sure.
Sure.
But it's going to be a tough sell, but at least they're getting some shine in the newspaper, a little bit, you know, at least people know about it, and we can wish them a congratulations on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. John Bartlett, I believe, was at the game, the Clarkson Cup game.
Oh, was he?
I think so. I know Matthew covered it and gave it very glowing reviews. He had Megan Agosta on his program about a month ago. Megan broke all the scoring records this year in the league. And, look, our hats are off to them. Anybody, this goes back to the conversation last week about Max Harris and Andrew Berkshire and soccer versus baseball. We'll never trash anybody for playing a sport. It's wonderful. It would be nice if more people appreciated it, if more families went out to it, if they saw that, hey, this is a good quality of sport being played. Let's go support it. That being said, would I go? Tough call.
I'll say straight up, I wouldn't.
There you go.
I wouldn't. And it's not because I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate the talent. But again, like we were talking about, it's not big league stuff. And I mean, you really, really have to appreciate the game and the intricacies of the game in order for someone to go down there. I'm not sure if it's a family event that would appeal to, you know, the layman, if I may?
Well, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. You'd think that it'd be a good place for a dad to take his daughters to show them that they can excel.
Yes, but again, now you're appealing to a market that has an interest in the small aspects of the game, in the intricacies. So, I mean, like I said, some family whose kids are not playing hockey or not interested in hockey would, or whatever sport it happens to be.
Well, you can take a horse to water, you can't make it drink, right?
Exactly.
And you can take a man to school, but you can't make him think. John Kakalakis is with us, and you're awful close to that mic, so I have a feeling you got something really good to say.
Yeah, actually, it regards baseball and Jose Canseco. We were talking about jerks before.
Not a boy, Annie.
After being a snitch for so long with the anabolic steroids and all that, he just keeps tweeting that he wants to come back and play for free. And he keeps mentioning the Blue Jays.
Well, but we know that's not going to happen.
Obviously.
No, that's poor Jose Canseco. Can I say that? Can I? And speaking of people I've had on Game Points when hosting Game Points, poor Jose Canseco. Snitch is such a snitchy word.
Snitch is a snitchy word. Only a snitch would use the word snitch.
Well, I'm not accusing John of being a snitch. I don't like the word snitch.
I love that, but with that Warren Sapp.
Shocky
situation. Yeah. You know, it's amazing what's the irony in this, that Shockey is going to sue Warren Sapp for a defamation of character because he might have or might have not reported a really, really bad situation going on, an illegal situation, a bounty situation.
Yeah, but you don't want to be the blackballed player in that situation.
But how is it a defamation of character if you might be doing the right thing? That's the wrong with the mentality of these guys.
Right.
You know, it's amazing to me how that happens. Oh my God. I reported a mugging on St. Catherine.
You're a snitch.
I'm a snitch. Now I'm going to sue you for defamation of character. How dare you call me out on reporting a mugging?
Well, to take it back to Canseco, because, you know, we were talking about,
yeah,
jerks,
sorry about that.
All.
Yeah.
Canseco has done more to clean up baseball than anybody else. He has. I mean, I know that he probably doesn't look at it that way. He should look at it that way. He's lost too much. Jose Canseco at one point had $40 million in the bank. And how the mighty have fallen, that he really is Kenny Powers. There's no two ways around it. He is Kenny Powers.
I think he used to have 40 million brain cells too, but I think those have gone away as well.
I wonder. It has to take half a brain to be able to write the book. I mean, I'm assuming that somebody wrote it for him.
Right.
But has he said anything that's been proven wrong so far?
No, but personally, I think while he's... Sorry, AJ.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
So while he was collecting all the millions during his career, he wasn't complaining about the usage of steroids. And once...
No, he was benefiting from it.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think it's after his failed tryout with the Expos that he started on that path.
Poor, wow. poor Jose Canseco.
Do you really feel sorry for him?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, because would all of this have come out if it wasn't for Canseco? Or would it still be as dirty as it was?
What were his intentions, though? What were his motives when he did it?
To get back at people.
To get back at people and maybe to make a few bucks off a book.
Does the motive matter? At the end of the day, it's about what he did.
When it comes to feeling sorry for him, yes, absolutely. Okay, he did what he did. It was useful. It helped. It seems to have cleaned up the game a little bit. But at the same time, his intentions were questionable at best. And I don't feel sorry for him. I mean, have you read his tweets?
Yes.
Where is this guy? It's insane.
I have followed and unfollowed him more than anybody else on Twitter. Because I get into it. I want to see what he's going to do next. And then it's like a car wreck and I'm rubbernecking.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand that feeling of rubbernecking, but everybody does it.
Wow, there's a cringe factor of about a million. Oh, listen, I follow him too. There's a cringe factor of about a million out there.
We just got a message from my good friend Sam out in New York City. Is Vlad going to be a Nippon ham fighter before being a Blue Jay? Now, first of all, John, just to take it back a step. If the Toronto Blue Jays, if Encarnacion got hit by a bus tomorrow, God forbid, and the Blue Jays needed the DH, They're looking at Vladimir Guerrero long before they're looking at 47-year-old Jose Canseco that hasn't been in baseball for 11 years. Yes, it's that long. Over a decade that Jose Canseco's been out of baseball. Now, Sam, the new word on the street is that Vladimir Guerrero had a... what did I just swallowed his name? Vladimir Guerrero.
Guerrero.
Remember the music before he... I love it. Anyway, Vladdy had a tryout with the Cleveland Indians today. Indians brass flew down to the Dominican Republic. Anybody remember who Vladimir Guerrero's translator was when he first came up with the Expos?
Oh, God. Was it Pujols? Louis Pujols?
Close. Third base coach.
Jerry Manuel?
Nope. Third base coach.
Oh, can't remember.
Manny Acta.
Manny Acta, of course.
Manny Acta is the manager of the Cleveland Indians. So I think it would make perfect sense if Manny had had a few choice words with Cleveland Indians general manager, who I think is Mark Shapiro still. I'd call it Shapiro, but hey, some people call it Shapiro.
So do you see Vladdy donning the Indians uniform?
I would love
soon?
To see that. Well, cross your fingers right now. Vladdy hopefully can catch on with the team and contribute. As an Expos fan, I think it would be very difficult to watch Vladimir Guerrero retire. That being said, if Vladimir Guerrero retires, we know that we're only 5 short years away from a hell of a trip to Cooperstown.
You think so?
First ballot, no?
No.
Okay, so we're 6 years away.
We've got another argument.
This is the Ballad of the Southern Midwife. Another song from Sarah Jane Scout, and she'll be in studio next week. Her new CD is called Magpie Waltz. We're going to give it away to the, what did we do, third caller last time? We'll do the fourth caller this time. This is the Kaufman Show.
Not you, John from Denver.
No, John from Denver. Well, actually, we can send him a CD.
Okay.
But no, this will go to a Montrealer. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
Grandfather loved Jesus. Grandma so did she. I was a wicked baby. My father told me. Set fire to the church house at the age of 3. Was born a woman and not supposed to be. Well, father was a preacher, cursing the ground at my feet. He said, you little woman, you never listen to me. Always telling me you're not scared of the things you don't see. When you're in trouble, don't come crying to me. With dishonor when I put on his ring.
Hey, this is Joel Plaskett from Halifax, Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and you're listening to The Kaufman Show.
Oh, side of the road in the ditch you rest. A mouthful of mud from a fist.
back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, as we roll along. Having fun, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's my favorite time of the week.
Me too, man.
Yeah.
Me too. I love this.
I look forward to it all week, and then I look back on it for an hour, then I look forward to it again.
Wish we could do it more often.
I wish we can.
Speaking of everybody, the Montreal Mirror is now taking submissions for the Best of Montreal.
Huh.
So be sure to be kind. And as Mitch tweeted earlier tonight, vote early and vote often.
Yeah. We're not saying for who.
No. Whatever, you know.
Just
whatever.
You know,
whatever, you know.
Just throwing it out there.
If you want to do us a solid, like, hey, we'll take it. But listen, hey.
Why not?
Do you know who Scott Hegart is? H-E-G-G-A-R-T.
Yes.
You're all about to find out who Scott Hegart is. He's a very brave young man. I believe he's 19. He's from the Ottawa region. He's a Devils fan. We won't hold it against him. But he has recorded a video for You Can Play, which is something that, as we said, we will continue to talk about on this program. And even on weeks where we don't have celebrities like Patrick Burke joining us to talk about it. Scott Hegart had, there was an article written about him that was in the Ottawa Citizen last week that was just fantastic. He was an openly gay hockey player on his high school and college hockey teams. And the kid's got balls of steel. And Jimmy, we good to go? We're gonna play this at Scott Hegart's You Can Play video. It runs about 6.5 minutes, and it's worth every second.
Hi, I'm Scott Hegart, and no, I'm not a New Jersey Devil, but I am a Devils fan. I'm a hockey fan, and like many others, I have been deeply moved by this campaign. I have been inspired, I have been encouraged, and I have been absolutely blown away by the entire movement. And so I'd like to start this off by thanking everyone. I'd like to thank the Burke family, Patrick, Brian, and the late Brendan. I'd like to thank all the organizers that are behind the website, the videos. I'd like to thank everybody affiliated with the NHL that has helped bring this together. I'd like to thank everybody that has shared the message, everybody that's donated, everybody that will continue to show their support for this campaign. And I'd especially like to thank the players. And yes, that does mean you too, Henrik Lundqvist. Saying thank you doesn't feel like enough. I feel like I have to explain why. Why this campaign matters. Why it's going to make a difference. And so I'd like to take you back to when I was in grade 7. I was about 13. And I was just starting to figure out what the feelings I've been having were. That's when the label came into my mind. That's when I realized that I was gay. I had every reason to expect that my family was going to love and support me. But I couldn't say the same about my friends, my classmates, my teammates. I was scared. I was scared that if they found out, that I wouldn't be able to face criticism. I was scared that I'd be forced off my hockey team, off my football team, my basketball team. I was terrified that I wouldn't be able to face bullying at school and that I'd just stay home. That I'll be huddled up and shut off from the outside. I was scared that this would ruin me. And so, I tried to tell myself that it wasn't true. That I was wrong. That I could change. I started to punish myself for thoughts and feelings that I couldn't control. I hated that part of me. I hated the fact that I was gay. I despised it. I was scared of it. I was terrified. And it led me to some very, very dark days. I was mentally abusing myself constantly. And with that, started to come thoughts of suicide. I'm very thankful that I never did hurt myself. I never did try but the thoughts were there. I'd like to be able to sit here and say that my experience isn't common. That gay kids going through what I went through doesn't happen very often. But it seems more and more that the way things are right now, it's just a fact of life. It's what goes on. Gay kids always tend to face one or more of three really bad stages. The self-loathing, the loneliness, and bullying. For me, when I was 13 and thinking about killing myself, this campaign would have made a world of difference. I love hockey. I always have, and I always will. Family comes first, but hockey is something very special to me. I live and I breathe it. I'm constantly checking stats, watching the standings, watching as many games as I can. For me to have been able to sit in front of a television or on a computer, go online and watch as my heroes looked into a camera and said that it's okay, that it's fine, that they treat me the way they treat anyone else. I don't know if I would have ever thought about suicide. I can honestly say that I would have had a much easier time accepting myself. As it is, I think my family accepted that part of me long before I did. They're a big reason why I'm still here. This campaign is going to be a big reason why lives have changed, why lives are saved. And it's not just going to be gay athletes like myself that are affected, but it's going to be all gay kids. Gay, bi, trans. This campaign is going to create a dialogue of support, of acceptance. Because at the end of the day, this campaign is not politics. This campaign is not religion. This campaign is nothing to do with anyone's personal creed. This campaign is about creating an environment where kids don't have to be afraid. Where athletes and teenagers and kids of all shapes and sizes don't have to think that killing themselves is better than being who they are. At the end of the day, this message holds true far beyond the locker room. If you can play, you can play. And go Devils, go.
How about that, eh?
Powerful stuff.
Scott Hegart, 19 years old. I'm just blown away by his courage and just those thoughtful comments. And anything we can do to support, if you can play, you can play. And it's cool looking around this room with four straight guys and seeing the looks on everybody's faces.
Well, it's about time. And you know what? I mean, the sports market, the demographic, is not ready for this, which is all the better. Yeah. Which is all the better. Hit it hard. Hit it now. Don't wait like they did with Jackie Robinson. Don't wait that long. Hit it now. Now's the time. It's the right thing to do.
You know, I've gotten emails, Jay, in the last few weeks since we've thrown our support behind this campaign saying, good on you, buddy, but never going to happen. And keep dreaming. Well, yeah, I'll keep dreaming. And I was brought up that I was taught from a very young age that everybody is the same, and that everybody deserves an equal shot and it doesn't matter. And whatever we can do to keep breaking down that wall, we'll continue to.
Well, it's videos like that and this campaign that are going to do it. And it's going to happen soon, folks. It's not a dream. That is such hyperbole when it comes to what we're talking about. It's going to happen, and people are going to have to deal with it.
I don't think it's been announced yet, and I don't know how it hasn't been announced yet. But last week we told you that Brian Gionta and one more Montreal Canadian have gotten involved. The other half is Carey Price. And that is huge. First of all, for it to be the all-star on the Montreal Canadiens. So it's the captain and the all-star. But let's talk about Carey Price for a second. Carey Price is from the middle of nowhere. Anaheim Lake, British Columbia. Was it an 8-hour ride to Vancouver in his dad's propeller plane? Something crazy like that. He is from the interior of the interior. Jason Bay is from Trail, BC, and I think that's like New York City compared to where Carey's from. He's also part native. These are stigmas that people have. For Carey Price, from a rural area, part native, to stand up for this in the biggest media glare. Yeah, I know Toronto, I know. Whatever. In the biggest media glare in North America for a hockey city, this shows something. It's not Matthew Darche, and nothing against Matthew Darche, and I hope that Matthew Darche supports you can play. But it's Carey Price, and it's a big deal, and I respected him a lot before, and I respect him even more now. The amount of maturity, Jay, that Carey Price has shown from when there were questions about Carey Price's character, we are so lucky to have him in this city.
He's and still a young guy, too.
Oh, my God. What is he, 24?
My God. Do you know what I was doing when I was 24?
Yeah, the same stuff I was doing.
Yeah, wandering around my room trying to figure out which end smelled the worst. That's what I was doing when I was 24.
Maybe we were doing different things at 24 then. But
no,
your point is taken.
His integrity, the way he's handled himself ever since that chill moment in exhibition games, and even before that.
I loved that moment.
Oh, and even before that, he has come out and he has shown himself to be a leader. He's shown himself to be a man of integrity. And, you know, I mean, it's a stereotype. Yes, he's from a rural area, and he listens to country music, and it's a stereotype. You'd think that one would have conservative values when it comes to that.
Well, let's keep breaking open these stereotypes. Let's keep busting them down. And eventually we're all going to live in a world that makes a lot more sense. In the meantime, I will leave you with this quote from Tim Tebow from the press conference today. Without a word of a lie, or with a few words of a lie, when you're a Jet from your first cigarette till your last dying day. We've got to end it light, no? Thank you, You Can Play. We appreciate the great work that you do, and we'll continue to support it. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
By my side, oh, yeah. So I'm walking out knocking in the
welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Just got a tweet, just a picture, asking me to go to something from someone called THC Hockey. I like both those things, so I'll inquire.
And
that was my joke.
I don't know.
What do you want me to say?
Okay.
Yeah, where'd the music go? Hey.
Hey. Oh.
Hey, what? Unusual how?
Unusual how?
Unusual how, Bobby?
What am I, a clown?
Well, like a clown or
I'm
something.
I'm here to amuse you?
Whoa, what? Unusual how? Bobby, do call us. Grace us with your voice. 514-790-0990. 1-866-896-2546 is the toll-free number. Because, you know, we've got a boss, his name's Wayne, and he might as well pay for that call, not you.
Jeez. We had a boss, and his name was Wayne.
No, I think he's still around.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he runs a well, franchise ship.
But are we? That's the question after that.
If that's what's going to do it, Jay.
That's true.
Then obviously he didn't hear Bedini.
Yeah, there's been worse.
Where's George?
Where is George?
I don't know. Let's hope everything's all right.
Yeah, he hasn't called in. He hasn't chimed in. We haven't seen a tweet from him. Late night.
You know what? You're right. We haven't even seen a tweet.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's out or maybe he's sleeping.
Big Monday night party.
Big Monday night party. Could be. You never know.
Maybe he's just sad because he didn't win the Our Lady Peace tickets.
That's true. Maybe he is. Maybe he's... No, you didn't even call in for that.
Oh, congratulations to Roy from Dorval for winning the Sarah Jane Scouten CD. You're going to have to come down here and pick it up. That's right. This isn't some hockey stick that we're going to send to
you. Oh, listen. Hey. Come on. Gas is money, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. Is it ever?
Yeah.
But you know what? We'll make a rule. No complaints about gas on the show. No complaints about the cost of tuition.
No?
If we're going to complain about the cost of tuition, then we'll complain about gas. Everybody's got their own complaint, right?
Right. Well, when it affects them directly, of course.
That's it.
Yeah. Nobody cares about anybody else. Why would they?
Okay, fine. We will talk about the student.
Oh, here we go.
Well, twist my rubber arm. Make me talk about politics on a Monday. On a groggy Tuesday. I know that this situation is deeper than the media has portrayed it. I know it. There's nothing else to say. This cannot just be about the $300 a year raise. It's about where the money's going. It's about the misappropriation of funds in the university systems. It's about the fact that the Chancellor of Concordia makes more money than the Prime Minister of Canada. I'm leaving that space for everybody to make their own joke about how much the Prime Minister deserves as well. But, hey, you know.
A lot of people yelling at the radio right now with one-liners.
It's like Mad Libs radio, exactly. Yeah. So I know that it inconveniences a lot of people when they're out in the streets. And, well, blocking highways, that's just stupidity. But I have no problems with peaceful assembly. With peaceful protest. Maybe we don't have to compare it to the Arab Spring. It's a little excessive. But looking at those pictures of everybody in red in Place du Canada last week made me think of the referendum. Last time I saw that many people packed into one place. Not at SARS stock.
I was at that at Place du Canada in 1995.
So was I.
Yeah.
So was I. I was a student in grade 9, I believe. And a bunch of us walked into the principal's office that morning and said, we're going one way or the other, so you might as well let the whole school out.
I was going to Dawson College at the time.
Thank you, Mr. Officer, for letting everybody take the afternoon off and go to the rally that day. We'll never forget it.
We know what side he was voting on.
I would imagine that most of St. George's High School was voting for that side. But, yeah. My God, that was 17 years ago.
You're right about the money thing, though. I mean, it's reported so loosely. Well, they don't have jobs.
Oh, and I hear this tone, Jay, this condescending tone from the reporters, a lot of them. One of them who hasn't, who I've really enjoyed her coverage of it, is Catherine Cullen from CBC.
Right.
Kath_Cullen on Twitter. And I almost thought about getting her on the show tonight to talk about it. But then we thought, hey, you know what? We do a sports show so rarely. Let's just do a sports show.
Yeah, let's do a sports show this week. Why not?
Well, you know, I'm a guy that likes sports, so why not? But needless to say, you should check her out. I found a lot of the reporting, a lot of the commentary that I heard in media just sounded so like, who are these pithy little students that think they're entitled and they've got their iPods and their iPhones and they're drinking $5 cups of Starbucks? And do you know how awful you sound when you speak in a tone like that? You know how derogatory that sounds? Do you not remember when you were eating ramen noodles and struggling as a student?
Yeah.
Not everybody's got it easy. A lot of people have it hard. And we joke about Twitter is the great equalizer. It's not. Education is the great equalizer. It is what allows people to grow and learn. And, hey, it's not for everybody, but if you make the choice to go to university, the amount of people I know that walked out of university with useless degrees, where you needed to go and get another degree because whatever arts degree you had wasn't going to get you a job, and they walk out of school $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in debt. Why do we encourage that? And why are we using the other 9 provinces as our example? My whole life, I've been taught that Quebec is a distinct society and that we do things differently here and that we hold ourselves up to a different standard and we get more of a kickback from the man because we're Quebec. And now everybody's running around and saying, well, every other province, it costs $4,000. It should cost $4,000 here. Suddenly, when it's convenient, you hold yourself up to the standards of the other provinces. You know how many countries there are in the world where it costs less? And again, how is this money being spent?
Well, that's the key. People are walking around. Well, they're like the quote you just said, it's as if, you know, they're trying to label these students with some sort of sense of entitlement, which is not necessarily true.
No.
Sure, a lot of them can't afford it, or a lot of them are complaining about the money. But at the same time, you got to do your research and realize where this stuff is going. It's just like the price of gas. Look at where all the money is going. That's the key. You know, people in Quebec and in Canada are known for not minding to pay taxes.
Right.
We pay high taxes.
Yes.
Because we expect something in return.
Right.
And usually we get it. And we're going to bitch and we're going to complain about it once in a while. But at the same time, you have to do your research. You have to realize you want to know where every single penny that you put into the system is going. And that's the most important part. It's not about if you can buy an iPod or not.
No.
You know?
No. And as we all know, everybody's buying everything on credit and just running up their debt anyways.
Yeah, well, that's a different story.
You know, the complaint that, well, they're out drinking their beers twice a week. Yeah, they're out drinking their beers twice a week.
Yeah.
They're entitled to it. They study hard. They're still allowed to be a student, right? The real world's going to hit them like a ton of bricks as soon as they get out.
There won't be many beers after that.
No, there won't, because they won't be able to afford it.
That's right.
I don't understand what's going on. And I know that I'm this super left-wing, pinko, liberal hippie. But I'd like to think my head's on my shoulders and that I can understand both sides of an equation, as long as there's no math involved.
As long as there's no math involved.
This one confounds me. I do not understand why people have gotten so upset against the students. I don't get it. I just don't get it. What's a couple of hours of traffic?
Tactics. Tactics. Well, the city's seen its share of traffic. That's a tactic which I don't approve of once whatsoever.
Well,
you want to be a little chaotic.
How do you get noticed?
How do you get noticed, or how do you garner support?
Well, both.
Well, you can get noticed, that's for sure, but you're sure as hell not going to get anybody's support who also is working 10, 11 hours a day and has to fight through traffic to get to their home in St. Lambert.
If those 250,000 people that were out on the streets are all over 18 and can vote, they can make a difference.
Yes.
We all know how piss poor the voting record is amongst the population, let alone amongst students.
Right.
Something's got to happen. What I liked is that this beautiful, peaceful rally on that gorgeous day last Thursday with 250,000 people happened 4 days after the violent brutality rally. And there wasn't one arrest. There wasn't one broken window. There wasn't one person caught peeing in the street. It was peaceful. Let's take a call. Jimmy's going to take the call.
Somebody wants to chime in.
Somebody wants to tell me what a hippie I am. And
you are a hippie.
Tell me to go back to working in the copy room at Sterling Cooper Draper Price.
Hopefully it's a student.
That would be interesting.
Or a member of faculty?
I don't think it is. It's, no. No, it's a good friend of the show. We've got Mike in St. Leonard, who always calls us towards the end of the night. I quite enjoy it. How are you, sir?
Not bad. You?
Good. What's going on?
Good. I heard you just talking a little bit about the students and what happened last week and what's continuing to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think people have anything against the students personally and their rights to do whatever they want to do. You know, people don't want to be inconvenienced for your issues, basically what it comes down to. And it comes down to the students as well, too. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and the fact of the matter is when we take a step back and realize where we are in the world and the fact that we wake up every day and there's about 6 billion people who have less than we do in this country,
yeah,
no one wants to hear complaints anymore. I mean, and the fact of the matter is you look at the amount of tuition that we pay here compared to other places in the country, it gets even a greater discrepancy. At some point in time, we all have to step up and do our share. And sometimes the government's hand has to be forced. I mean, Quebec, just looking at the sheer numbers and the way that we run numbers in this province,
mm-hmm,
cannot continue. This is the most unmanageable province, or even place maybe in North America.
But do we want to encourage people to not further their educations? Like, that seems like a real slippery slope to me.
Well, you know what? The fact of the matter that we had the lowest tuition was to encourage education. And then you look at the numbers, especially on the French side, it hasn't worked out the way that they wanted it to at all. And at some point in time, you realize we'd love to even give it for free, but we just can't afford it. And they've never come up with a proper plan, a serious plan to be able to keep people here after they get this great education at a discount price. If they could tie that into you staying here and working in Quebec and helping to form the economy or even giving jobs that could help create a better economy, maybe it could work.
See, but that's an interesting point and not something that I thought of, but you're absolutely right. The brain drain that occurs here must be just massive because people know that there's more opportunity somewhere else. I'm sure that if I wanted to go to Toronto right now, there'd be more opportunity for me than if I was in Montreal.
Exactly. Plus, you know what? There's some built-in problems as well, too, in Quebec as well also. I know a friend of mine, one of my sisters, she went to the engineering class. It was the degree, actually. They were giving out the degrees at McGill a couple of years ago. And she said, out of everyone in that class, about 90% of them were non-white, non-francophone. And they're not staying in Quebec. They were people who, many of them have grown up here. Some of them, their parents are first-generation Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get that great education. But the fact of the matter is, their doors are not open necessarily for them here either. And they're not stupid. I mean, they would love to some degree, be able to stay here and work here and be close to their parents, whatever the case may be. But let's be honest, they're not going to go downtown and get a job at Hydro-Québec. It's not going to happen.
No, and unfortunately not, or you know, depending on how you want to look at it. But it is the sad reality, Mike. I feel like there has to be a solution that doesn't tell a poor student that they need more, that they need to do more. I feel like that is just, it's, I would like to hope that the people that are out there complaining and protesting this, it's because they genuinely cannot afford it.
But you look at it, Dave, and you look at the United States and how difficult it is to get a good education and how much it costs.
Yeah.
And then you look at Quebec and you realize you've been running this system probably since Levesque. So you're looking almost at, 40 years now we've been running this system. And we look at the brain drain and we look at where we are compared to the rest of the country. It's a great experiment having cheap education. But if your whole society is not getting better, not getting wealthier, not getting smarter, you're not on the forefront of technology or of engineering or of anything, then you have to ask yourself, the principle that you just mentioned is absolutely right on. We want to have people have education at the least amount possible.
Right. We want to encourage it.
Yeah, you want to encourage it, but you need something in return, too. You just can't constantly put that on the ledger and saying it's a great investment for the rest of the world. You know, at some point, Quebec has to get something back from it, and it hasn't. It really hasn't. And like I said, some of those things are institutional. They're not the fault of the government of Quebec. and I'm sure things have not worked out the way they wanted. I'm sure there's been a lack of integration. I mean, even now, I know this morning there was something in the L'Actualité and then something in the Journal, I believe, about Anglophones in Quebec. And so, you know, there's some artificial walls that are still up that don't allow things to go the way we'd like them to go and like how we'd like it to believe that it's a fair and just society and that if you work hard, you're going to get ahead and whatever the case may be. But
we all know that's, you know, got its limits, though, right?
That's right. And so the government can only do what it can. When you look at those straight numbers, it's unbelievable the deficit the province of Quebec runs.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm well aware of that. And the thing is, though, I see tax cuts to upper echelons of society, and I wonder why they can't be swallowing it. And I guess the answer is, well, what's the line about, you know, too young to be a conservative no, it's too poor to be a conservative and just young enough to be a liberal.
That's right. Well, you know what the great thing about wealth, it allows you to get a table of power a lot easier, right?
Right.
You know, instead of wasting your time on the street, you're in the boardroom of the premier, right? And you just whisper a few sweet nothings in his ear, and bingo, some legislation's passed that allows you to, you know, triple your profit next year, and nobody in the public's aware of it until 10 years later, right?
Well, I'll have to get Jay Farrar to do all the ear whispering for Premier Charest.
Oh man, no, you really don't want me to do that. Believe me,
Mike. Thanks for the call, man.
Very, have a great guy.
Very
have
intelligent
great night,
call. We appreciate it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's Mike made some amazing points.
Yep,
and. You know, there's thinking with your heart and there's thinking with your head, and there's somewhere in between lies the right answer. But it's true. We as a province cannot just give away an education and have somebody apply it somewhere else.
That's right.
I'm here. I'm part of the Ontario brain drain. I got my undergrad there.
Yeah, I didn't quite make it to college, so what the hell do I know, right?
You know a lot, my man. It's not for everybody.
No, it's not.
And if you think about it, if you'd gone to school, how much debt would you have had right now walking out of it? You would have gone for an arts degree like me because you're not a science guy. So you would have had a history degree or a philosophy degree or a
science
degree.
I studied creative arts in CGEP.
Okay.
And even CGEP, I couldn't afford it. I had to work for full time, so I couldn't go to school. That's why I find the argument about comparing Quebec to the rest of the world completely irrelevant. It's you know, you got to think within your own society and how it affects us personally. Hey, listen, I couldn't afford it. My parents couldn't afford it. I had to work all the time. My father was running a business. I was working in the warehouse, and I had to continue working. We just didn't have the money. I couldn't do it. And, you know, I didn't like being indoctrinated by the system anyway.
I'll tell you, I was very fortunate to have gotten help from my parents going through my undergraduate degree. Because of that, I don't feel like I'm qualified to talk about these protests. Because I would hope that the average kid that's out there protesting isn't doing it off their mommy and daddy's buck. Meanwhile, every student that I've run into in the last 2 weeks says they're not on strike.
Yeah.
And it's true, Jay. You want to screw your whole semester? You already paid for it. There are so many sides to this. We could do this all night.
Yeah. We won't, but
no.
We could.
We might off air.
Yeah, maybe.
Do check out the Kaufman Show's page on Facebook and give it a like. We'd appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show, and Jay is at JPub Radio. And
I want to move up to 400 followers here.
You getting close?
I'm getting up there. I'm not quite. I'm about 367.
Oh, you're moving
not
up.
Like followers count because I hate that garbage. But at the same time, you know, it's good. It's good for someone like me who is in the PR business.
That was great. That was I hate you, but I love you at the
I
same time.
I hate you, but I love you. Well, I'm not one of those guys who counts their followers just for the sake of counting their followers. I am on a radio show, and I do run a bar, so it is important to me.
I've got a number in my head that I want to get to, but it's far enough away, and I keep reminding myself that it's not how many, it's who. And I love
communicating
with people on Twitter. I just think it's a wonderful toy.
And yeah, I'd rather have six guys who communicate with me than 400 who do nothing.
Well,
or semi-spam.
Oh, my God. The amount of Walmart spam I've gotten today. I wonder if you – have you had the same thing?
No, I haven't gotten any Walmart. I got some WWE spam for some reason because I think I mentioned them. And I got a retweet by the Muppets.
This is from Noreen Hindle. Due time first, hate will from her just. It's two can't give your go me today like Walmart GG. I swear to God, dude, that's what I've been spammed with all damn day.
Block them.
I do.
Okay.
I do. And every single one has the same bio. Infuriatingly humble pop culture enthusiast. Social media holic. Freelance coffee evangelist. Gamer. Lover of alcohol. Well, Noreen Hindle, you have been reported for spam on the Kaufman Show.
Snitch.
Oh, wait, Bobby. Okay, I know what you mean by unusual now. I get it. Jay, what are you doing?
Nothing. I'm just tweeting Melnick.
Really?
Yeah, he just asked a question, and I have to...
You want to wait till the show's over?
No, sorry.
No? No, you want to just act like... Okay.
No. I'm kidding. I'm not. I was checking to see if I had any Walmart spam, because it sounds really interesting.
Oh, it's the best, man. Yeah. You should totally get yourself some spam. I was at Walmart today. I don't know if that has anything to do with
it. I don't go to that
it.
Place anymore. Anymore. It's chaos. I can't.
It's nuts.
I can't handle it because I get out there and I see white people open fire in shopping centers, and that's it. I said that.
Is that a Walmart Montreal thing, or is that like a Walmart Arkansas?
LaSalle.
Sorry, Nebraska. Let's continue picking on Nebraska. We know we're safe, right? Unless Jack Todd's listening to the show, then we're...
I can't do it with all the kids running around. And it's the middle of like Tuesday, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I'm like, don't you people work? It's like Fairview. I don't understand how it's always full.
It's like Fairview, baby.
Steve Patterson said that once. He goes, I've never seen so many cars in the West Island in the middle of a Monday afternoon. Doesn't make any sense. Where are all these people going?
Steve,
I work at night. Not
man.
All these people can work at night.
You should, if none of you or if any of you aren't following Steve Patterson on Twitter, you should. Patterballs. Very funny, dude. Caught him last, was it last week? 2 weeks ago now?
It was 2 weeks ago that we had him.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. And so I saw him last week then.
Yeah, we're going to have him on again. He'll be a reoccurring guy. He is highly entertaining.
He's reached Taggart status?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes, he has. Taggart and Patterson. We'll have him on together. That'd be interesting.
I think they would both enjoy that immensely. you know what? Give Steve a call and see if he's around late next week. And that way, if Jeremy's in studio, we can make the introduction.
Yeah, I don't believe he has any debaters going on Monday, so...
Well, he is one of the master debaters. So.
And he's one of those guys that says said sure anytime at the end. And we take that stuff literally, people.
Right. You said sure anytime. We're going to hold it to you. Hold you to it on the Kaufman Show. Or hold it to you, whatever you wish.
And we record this thing, so we'll let them know about it, too.
TheKaufmanShow.podbean.com. is where you can go to listen to us. And if you're listening to us there, we thank you. It's been a hell of a show.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun.
No cameras this time.
No cameras this time. I feel a lot better without all these people running around and making me nervous. And sharing a mic with you, which, you know, I like being close to you, but not that close.
Next week, I imagine, we'll be cozying up again with the full band in studio.
No problem, as long as it's in two-week intervals.
Next week's show, we will have the Sarah Jane Skouten Band in. We will be joined by David Gourlay from Champions of Ottawa Baseball. He's going to give us a little primer on how to bring back a baseball. I almost said a Major League Baseball team, but a baseball team. Ottawa has now gotten a AA franchise back. They're taking donations. For $25, you can commit to being a season ticket holder. Right now, you go onto their website, Google Ottawa Champions Baseball. $25. You know, it's $26 for the new hot dog at Texas Stadium for Rangers games this year.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's supposed to feed three people. So you can spend $26 on a hot dog in Texas, or you can spend $25 to help put baseball back in Ottawa. Seems like a no-brainer to me. I want to thank our guests. It was really cool to have Chris Stevenson on. It was great to talk to Jeremy Taggart.
Again.
And we'll see Jeremy next week. Our thanks to Evenko for offering the tickets out. That was fantastic. Please do it again, Ivanko. Thank you to Caroline O'Day. Thank you to Brutopia. And thanks to Sarah for the CD to give away. John and Jimmy, thank you, gents. Jay Farrar, you're a good man.
Dave Kaufman, you're even better.
You're full of it.
Shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. You saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, 'cause it's fun. Davey and me face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman. You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be back next week.
What'd that sound like?